Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Wow. Yeah, we've got a lot of people in studio. Cameras, people running around, Hollywood types. For a second, I thought about doing a radio show this morning, and then I thought, nah, let's just stick to the plan. You know what I mean? It's easy to get off your game and start doing entertaining radio when there's a bunch of people hanging around, a bunch of eyes and ears on the show. But I thought, no, stay the course. Stay the course. Christina Guerrero is here.
She's going
to be doing our news. Good morning,
thank
Christina.
All that for me. Wow.
Yet another Fox.
This is a huge studio audience.
Yeah, really foxy. How old are you, Christina?
Well, I've been 23 for about 3 years now.
Oh, really? So
yeah, I'm liking that age. Nice. It works for me.
It's beautiful. It works nice in you. I'm just looking at your card because I'm not familiar with your work.
That's okay. Not many people are.
Grew up in a small town in Washington State. Oh, yeah. Graduated from USA, it says, our crack team. Well, I guess you can screw up on one card once.
Off to a blazing start.
But if it ever happens again.
All right. I did not do the card, obviously.
Yeah.
You only had 72 hours to get it put together.
I went to Nebraska. This is not your fault. But whoever makes these things, read them out loud in front of the mirror slowly 10 times and then bring them to me. Because we have shows that, these are long-running sitcoms that went from 2014 to 2019 and things like that. I'm tempted to read them out loud every once in a while. And I realize when I see things like Graduated from USA, to just keep it to myself. So you did graduate from this country and you've moved on to Ecuador? Fantastic. I one day hope that, and God willing, my children graduate. They'll be the first people in my family to graduate from USA. So now, let me see. TV break, rub, TV, relationship, sex, and dating.
Yeah, I did my first break in TV, on TV actually, was for a show called The Rub, and it was a dating, relationship, sex talk show.
Now, is it called The Rub?
The Rub.
It's not called Rub TV.
No, it's called The Rub.
Oh, for two?
Oh, for two. Yeah. And by the way, even though Rub TV and The Rub don't sound too different, Rub TV sounds like something you'd find on the Spice Channel after 2 a.m.
Right.
That's the stuff they run between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. But The Rub just sounds like could be a gossip show or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. There's a show called Access Hollywood. Did you have any part of that?
Yes, actually, it did. Yeah. We got one. There we go.
All right. Los Angeles, 5 years. So you're going to be hanging out for a couple days, right?
Yeah, definitely. Excited to be here.
Oh, really? Why? Why are you excited to be here?
Wrong answer.
Why are you excited to be here?
Radio is going to be fun for me. I usually do TV, so this should be interesting. I apologize in advance, just in case.
I normally do TV, and Dave normally does gay porn, so we're all a little bit out of our element, too. As you can tell, he's a nice-looking man. Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Good-looking, especially at 6 a.m. No, wrong answer. Wrong answer. Not good-looking.
Good-looking at this hour, right?
6 a.m., man. This is early.
Yeah, see, here's the whole thing. It's tough for women to look good early in the morning, whereas guys, we slowly come undone as the day goes on.
Yeah.
Dave looks much worse at noon than he does at 6 a.m.
Well, everyone tells me that...
That's because I get drunker.
Everyone tells me that in radio, you don't have to worry about hair and makeup.
No,
so
you don't.
So I was pretty excited about that.
But it's tough. Your first day, you show up and there's cameras all over the place. Why? Because Last Comic Standing is out here. And Last Comic Standing is going to be doing, as part of their show... The guys are going to be coming in, the stand-ups, that is. They're already preparing. I think they have a half hour with the material. They just throw them random magazines. And they have to do an original stand-up, one-minute stand-up routine on the magazine, Braska, that they were handed. Am I right?
Yeah.
About that?
I'm going to put Bisha, the producer of the show, on, and we can ask him some questions.
Well, perhaps he could produce this show as well.
I doubt it.
All right. So, Bisha?
That's it.
Shouldn't you be out protesting somewhere? What kind of name is Bisha?
It's Lebanese.
All right, well, go hit the streets. Oh. There's thousands of your people out in downtown. They want to know what's going on. So, Bisha, how do the rules go for today's Last Comic Standing game?
Well, we got 10 comedians out there that have just gotten 10
different magazines with different titles. Mm-hmm. And they're going to come in here, and they have a couple of seconds to talk with you, and then they have a minute to do a little bit about the magazine itself. Mm. And then you're going to take some calls and try to see who wins,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we say a little bit to do about the about a minute, or do you want me to cut them off at some point if they're on a roll? Should we let them keep going?
No, it's got to be exactly a minute, just because everybody's got to be fair to everybody. I can't have someone run over and...
Can I hit them with the flashlight with 10 seconds left?
That would be great, actually.
And I mean physically beat them with a mag light?
I can't say yes to that. But
I can do... I want one of those flashlights, Brusca, because the most humiliating part about doing the open mics, which I'm guessing all these guys have done, the amateur night over at the comedy club, they do it on a Sunday night. And they don't even, they do it at like 6, from like 6 to like 8, and then the real comedians come in, they do it on a slow night, is you get 3 minutes, and at 2.5 minutes, they shine a flashlight on you, which is great, because everyone gets to see this thing moving around your white forehead from the back, and that means it's time to tell your next joke and leave the stage, and they always give you threats. We hit you with the flashlight, you tell your last joke, you don't tell your last joke, we pull the plug. We'll shut the goddamn power down, you get the hell out. Eh? They start yelling at you. And it's weird. It's sort of weird being threatened, you know, when it comes to comedy. Do your last goddamn joke or we'll toss your hairy ass right out on the street. It's weird being, like, physically challenged when you're talking about doing stand-up. It's a weird mixture, but it happens in the open mic world, yes?
Yes, it does, yeah. I've been up to a lot of those shows lately just because I'm working
scouting
on the show.
Scouting talent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it does get scary. Like, they just cut them right off sometimes and turn the mic off. They don't get much chance.
The helpful hint from the super bitter, stand-up comic who's running the open mic, hence his career's not going that well. And be funny, would you guys? You know, that sort of comedy philosophy imparts to you before you hit the stage. You're up there to make people laugh. Let's go. No sob stories. And I like when they do the, and nobody wants to hear about your, well, if it's funny, they might want to hear it. No, tell jokes. Let's go.
Yes. I wish I could tell a joke, but I'm not very good at it. That's why I'm on this side of it.
What qualifies you, by the way?
That is a good question. Not much. Trust me there.
And I'm going to ask Dave, I'm going to reiterate Dave's question, which is where do you find most of these comedians for the television program?
You know, we went all over the country and did a scouting, and everybody tried out. There was lines up, you know, for 3 months. We went out there and just went all over the country trying to find the best comedians. And we picked out the top 12, and here they are.
Do we have all 12 here, or do we have 10?
We have 10, because we've already been in the show a couple days into the show, so, it's obviously the last comic standing, so it's going to be down to
You've
one.
You've eliminated a few.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And these guys are all currently working. I mean, you know, it's kind of weird, like, if you're doing a boxing program, you couldn't have amateurs and pros commingling. Can you do it in this situation?
I mean, I think so. I mean, these guys are the best of the best out there right now, and they've been doing it for a while. They're very good. I mean, you'll see some of them are very, very, you know, they're all good.
Right.
So these are the top.
But they can't go into their comfort zone now. They can't just do their act. They have been handed a magazine, and they have to create based on that.
Exactly, exactly. They literally have 20 minutes to come up with something, obviously, to impress you, because you're going to be picking out the winner.
Now let me ask this: what if I detect that they're using the magazine as a springboard to get into their comfort zone, which is their act? Let's say you handed somebody a Newsweek. They saw a picture of Bush on the front and then slid into a bunch of Clinton jokes. Let me tell you about these presidents and did stuff they did on Clinton 8 years ago. Should I penalize them?
I think you should. I think this should be relevant to the magazine that they, that they received. So
okay.
Definitely should be...
All right, so we're going to hold them now. That's our job. We're going to have to watch, because it's very easy for comics to slide just one notch over into the comfort zone, the material they've done before, versus what is exactly on the cover, what the content of the magazine is.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. All right, so those guys are going to be coming in, so we're going to take a break. Oh, boy. Wait, Christina, you all right?
Yeah, I just want to know if I'm not funny, you're going to pull the plug on me, too.
Yes. No.
No.
No, because you're good looking, yeah. And these guys are 10 miles of bad road.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all heavy set. They have goiters. A lot of them have humps on their back. They're ringing bells. They'll be dragging their knuckles in here and doing their comedy. Yes, my dear. The fact that you can string together a sentence puts you head and shoulders above these guys already.
Qualifications, man. That's good.
Yes. How tall are you, by the way?
I'm 5'3".
I like that.
Yeah, I'm little.
Dave likes that, too.
Nice and small, yes.
Yeah.
Nice and petite.
Yeah, we like that. Makes us look bigger, you know what I'm saying? Frank Vincent from The Sopranos. He is Phil Leotardo. He's going to be in. Also, oh, yes, we're doing the whole religious week. Thank you, Brusca. I'm an atheist, but I'm trying to pick out a religion, and I'll be deciding on one this week. We have a Buddhist coming in here. He's going to explain to me how that goes. But as the week wears on, we'll have priests and rabbis and God knows who else, and they're going to sit down, and they're really going to give me their pitch. It's like, you know, 10 companies make SUVs. I'm in the market. Sit down, Toyota. Sit down, Honda. Sit down, Range Rover. Let's hear what you have to say about your product. Let me see a brochure, and then I'll make an informed decision. So they're coming in all this week, and they're going to pitch it to us, and we'll hear what they have to say. And if you guys want to swap religions, you're an atheist, Dave, but you're Jew, here, essentially, yeah. Right?
No, I think I'm more with you.
You're more atheist.
Yeah.
Christina?
I'm a spiritual kind of a girl. I don't really have a religion either.
All right.
Raised Catholic. My family is now Mormon.
All right. When I hear girls raised Catholic who switched it to spiritual, I just hear one that wants to have some sex and doesn't want the baggage attached with that.
Maybe that's what it is.
Nice. All right. We'll take a break, and then we'll be back with the last comic standing after this. I'm going to talk to Christian, who's our 13-year-old comedian from Fresno. Go ahead, Christian.
Did you know that flossy, nosy, hilipilification means useless?
Mm.
They're going to use that in place of useless. I'm actually surprised I found the definition. I had to go online to get it. I looked in my dictionary, and it said the act of flossy, nosy, hilipilificating. Here's a consumer tip for anyone who's thinking about writing a dictionary someday. Please leave out the words that you don't know. Because when you define a word that you yourself don't understand, that's just flossy, nosy, hilipilification right there.
That is a young 13-year-old Christian, our comedian. We have the comics in from Last Comic Standing. I can't use their names because I was going to say many of them would be recognizable, but just to their own family. Although I see some recognizable faces in this studio.
These are no assistant managers at the Denny's whose staff thinks they're funny. These are legitimate comedians.
Right. That's right. And they are here to prove that or disprove that. We have 10 comedians, all from Last Comic Standing. I don't know who's going home, but someone may go home based on these decisions. I'm not making the rules, but we'll decide who did the best. And, Brusca, do we want a 1, 2, 3? Do we want a first, second, and third place? Why don't you talk to the producers? We will pick them out. So, everybody, just a number one. All right. There's 10 comedians. We're going to talk to each one for a couple of moments, and then they're going to get a minute to do a brand new routine based on the magazine that they were randomly handed. Our first comedian, well, I'll just call you comic number one. Welcome
hey,
to the show.
Up? How Welcome. Are you?
What magazine did you get?
I got a Weapons of Death.
That's funny stuff. Seems like this is going to be fertile soil for you, yeah?
It should be, man. It should be. I've already stuck all the pages together.
Oh, that is disgusting. And tell us when we're into the act, please.
That is it.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you just hit me with a flashlight now?
Okay, I'm going to hit you with my mag light. Brusca, I said I wanted one of those big D-cell ones so I could do damage. Okay, all right,
I hope we're into the act because that's all I got.
Right? Really, that's it? Yeah. Oh, he's going back to that well again, and we just got beat. All right, so are you ready? Do you want to chat a little more? You feel ready to go? That's it?
Yeah.
1 minute.
Okay.
All right, you ready? Where's the clock? Did anyone synchronize their watches? Here we go.
Weapons of death, huh? Aren't all weapons for killing?
Hmm.
I mean, and basically the whole magazine is about shooting small animals. Nice. Nice. You don't need a high-powered rifle to shoot the squirrels that they're shooting in there. Hey, Adam.
Hmm.
This sucks.
Yeah. I know. How do you think it is for me? I got to watch you suck.
Oh, man. Well, do you want to do 30 seconds?
On weapons of death?
Please. I wish I had a weapon of death right now. I would probably end it all right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd just take your own life.
I would.
That'd be good ratings.
This is probably the longest minute in history of your show.
It really, it's like sparring with Tyson. Really? It's really? Bad. We're still not out of the round. Still the first
just
round,
bite
huh?
My ear off.
I'm going to do that.
Please do.
All right, 3, 2, 1, there's
thank
your
you,
flashlight.
Thank
yeah.
You.
I wish it was the laser sight from my 44, but regrettably, it could only be the flashlight. All right, comic number two. What is your magazine of choice?
My magazine, well, not of choice, but my magazine that was selected was Agriculture Today.
Agriculture
Today.
And again, the comics were handed these how long ago?
About 20 minutes ago.
So I guess what they're trying to figure out is, you know, sure, anybody could go put together an act in their mom's basement over the course of 5 years. How fast can you think on your feet? And how funny can you make it? We're going to find that out. All right, comic number two, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to wait for the clock to get to a minute because I can't do this math. We're like 47 and a half, and I'm not. You're going to go on for 45 minutes before someone hits me with the flashlight. All right, you ready? 5 seconds, and be funny.
All right, so someone handed me a magazine that said Agriculture Today outside, and I was trying to get some ideas, so I talked to some of the staff here. I talked to one of the janitors. I said, what do you think of this Agriculture Today magazine?
Oh, mira, señores, ese magazine is one of mis favorites. I use it all the time, señor. It's very great.
That's
cool,
guy.
Man.
yeah, dog. I looked at that magazine, too, man, and anything that has to do with the plantation, I don't want no part of that, man. You know what I'm saying? They had an article about chickens, male chickens. That's what I'm saying, dog. That's a lot of cock in that magazine, Bray. Let me say, I also asked one of the girls what she thought.
Oh, my God. This magazine is great. They have a lot of stuff on farming and small animals. It's great.
One of the other guys said,
you know, I appreciate this here magazine. They got tractors on sale, and you can get yourself a tractor with a coupon that's in the back of that magazine. You're going to love that son of a bitch, I'll tell you right now.
Is all guys who work in this building?
Yes, sir.
We have got a clean house. Wow. 3 seconds. Be funny. Time's up.
Yeah,
sorry.
You sucked up 2 of my seconds, man.
Suck them up, please. Should be rewarded for that. Nice job.
Thank you.
I like the voices. I like the energy. Felt good. All right. Callers can call in, by the way, and give us their take. I'm trying to score here. I'm not sure. Sure, where to go. Let's see. Okay, now, who is our third comic? Comic number three?
That's me, Adam.
Hello, comic number three.
Great to be here.
Well, it's good to see you. I know your name. I won't use it. Yes.
That's great.
You have your magazine. Yeah, I don't know if it's good to be recognizable from last comic standing or that's a bad thing.
It's fantastic to me, Adam.
Good. Wow, so perky. So perky at this early morning.
I wish I could reveal my name. I'm bursting at the seams.
Well, I wish Dave Damashek probably, you guys probably know each other as well, right?
I can't weigh in here.
You can't. Yes. Wow.
I'll do my best to be objective.
All right. But you have seen Dave Damashek before, and he's seen you before, yes?
I believe it's legally okay for me to say that, yes, I have.
All right.
I've seen Dave Damashek.
Outside of an intimate setting.
Both.
Okay. So your magazine is
Scat, Adam.
Oh, is
that's
that what
Scat.
That is?
That's a magazine for cat fans.
It just
ears.
Says SS Cat, and I thought right. If they dedicated a cat to German war criminals, a cat magazine, Nazi Cat, which would be a decent name for. Yeah, I didn't know what to do with Scat or SS Cat. All right, Four Paw Goose Step is page 19. I want to check that out.
Scat. Oh, Adam.
All right, so you're doing.
You
scat.
Are a scamp.
I'm going to wait until the clock gets to the top and then ready to go. That's all right.
Okay.
We got about 5 seconds. If we can't kill 5 seconds, we should get pulled off the air. All right, comic number three, and be funny.
Well, thanks, Adam. This month's issue of Scat Magazine is our annual issue devoted to kittens. Now, remember, if you're looking for a kitten, finding a good breeder is so important. Rule number one, a good breeder doesn't usually operate out of a grocery store parking lot. That's one. Rule number two, four legs good. Always check to make sure your kitten has the right number of legs. And you know what? Because it's our kitten issue, we've got the winners of our annual photo contest. And for the eighth straight year, the winning photo is a kitten in a giant teacup. Apparently, our reader just can't get enough of that image every damn year. Hey, remember, your kittens will get bigger. And when they do, just get rid of them, because there's a lot of kittens out there. Now, giving your kitten a bath is a very special time. Is it? Well, remember, your kitten is like your child, only it's much easier to destroy when it gets sick.
Yes. Well, nice work. Scoring's tough here. All right, we have we're going to rotate in our next batch?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I see. Nice job, fellas, by the way. Wow. You know, my problem, whenever I do this scoring stuff, I never want to give anyone a 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. I always want to give everyone like a 6+, but then I never want to give anyone a 10, because it's like, well, I can't give anyone a 10 until the next guy. Maybe there's a 10 waiting in the wings. You can't have two 10s. Makes you seem like an ass kisser. So if you can't go under 6 and you can't go above 9, you end up with 8 people that are 7.5.
Well, here's what you
and
should
it's bad.
Do.
What should
I've
do?
I've gone with the 5-star system.
The star system.
That's right. Mm-hmm. 5 stars, I feel like. There's enough flexibility there, you know.
Yeah.
You want to give somebody a 4. It feels better than that.
Oh, there's definitely flexibility in the star system. You're talking to a guy who is 7 stars in the hole, career-wise. I got the minus 4 stars for the Man Show, and I think I got minus 3 for something else I did. I don't know if it was Loveline or Red Handed or some crappy UPN show.
You've
got negative ones.
I got minus 4 stars, and I would argue, like, when the coach says 110%, same speech should be given to the folks who hand out stars. You can't give negative stars. I don't know if that's a black hole. And then how many stars do I have to get before I just get even? If you think about it, if I'm 4 stars in the hole and I do a 3-star show, I'm still 1 star behind, right?
Yes.
Well, right. So far, you've got some great stars today.
Yeah. Oh, nice segue.
Am I supposed to be doing this too?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure, Christina.
No, I'm just wondering if I'm supposed to be scoring people.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great.
All right.
I'm sorry.
We're not going to count your vote, but feel free to amuse yourself over there, young lady.
No one cares about that.
These girls with their talking. All right, now let's go to comic number 4. You have Farming Journal?
Oh, yes, I do.
All right.
Which is hot. I don't know if you can tell by the sound of my voice, but I subscribe to this. It's a total fluke.
Yeah, it's a serendipity.
Score.
Yeah. You're from the Boston, Massachusetts area?
I'm not allowed to give out any personal information, which is really the ideal situation for a comic. You want to get on the radio and not be able to reveal anything about yourself. So you are watching a dream come true at this time, gentlemen.
It is, I wish more people couldn't give out more personal information. There's nothing worse. My husband's a big fan of yours from the Man Show, but of course his diabetes set in. He lost a leg. You want me to sign something, or can I go on? Yeah, be nice. All right, so comic number 4, you ready to go?
Yeah, the good news is that dude who's minus a leg is definitely writing for the Farming Journal.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
You think he's contributing?
Yeah.
All right. You feeling primed? You ready?
Oh, are you kidding me? This is what I've lived my whole life for. A minute about the Farming Journal.
Well, then
let's
then
do it.
Begin the musing.
Finally, the Farming Journal, a magazine that will make you sorry to have eyes and an education. Something that'll make you realize it's a large, scary world. Saddles have become less of a tool and more of a recreational item. That one wrote itself, people. It doesn't need any of my help. Genius. Round pens are popping up like mushrooms, everybody. Mushrooms, don't they sound good right now?
Mm.
After, I don't know, 4 or 5 lame minutes of comedy about nothing? Hallucinogenics, anyone?
Yeah.
Spring Break Rodeo in Arcadia, Florida, because I don't know about you. I've had enough of young drunk co-eds, and I need men who are missing nipples and elbows from riding bulls.
Yeah.
Annie Oakley thought that women should be able to handle a firearm as well as a baby. Have you ever been murdered by a bitch with a baby for drinking gin till 4 in the morning?
No, but we have to stop there.
No, wait a minute. Are you kidding me?
The day is young.
I was just getting warmed up. I have a half an hour after my farming journal.
Comic number 4, nice job. All right, should I switch to the star system midstream? That would seem like a mistake, because what would a, you know, 8.3 versus 4.5 stars be? You know what I mean?
That is,
yeah, I'm
going to
stick with my number system. Whew. Comic number 5.
What's up, buddy?
What's happening, my brother? You have a Latina wedding.
Yeah, right down my alley.
I'm very familiar with this publication because I go to the Mexican barber shop on Ventura, and it's all chicks with huge hair chewing gum and screaming at each other, and I oftentimes will either have my choice between the Latina wedding, Latina bride, and Latina entrepreneur. Those are my 3 magazines I get to choose from when I'm in the waiting room over there.
Very nice.
Did you learn something from it?
Yeah, I learned I don't speak Spanish, nor can I read it.
Oh, I see. It's all written in Spanish, is it?
Except for the cover.
What? Yeah. Seems like I don't want you to, you know, spill your A material here, but that seems a little misleading.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm the only one who got the foreign language magazine, by the way.
Yeah, it's true. They wouldn't do that. Like, if there were magazines written in Spanish where the cover, magazines where the cover was Spanish, you wouldn't expect the inside to be written in English, would
you? No, not all. And if you look inside, some of the advertisements are written in English, but not all of them. It's just the people that were too lazy to hire an interpreter.
Yeah, stupid Revlon. All right, are you ready?
Oh, baby, I was born ready.
I like that. All right, let's reset the clock. And be funny.
Latina weddings. Here's a problem with the magazine. There's several problems. A, to me, since I don't speak Spanish, it's basically just a picture book. And also, if you look through the magazine, although I don't read Spanish, you can tell that it's not about weddings at all. There's not a veil. There's not a tuxedo. It's an entertainment magazine. It's apparently the Latin community. They have too much time on their hands, too. They're like, hey, my life's not important enough, and I'm going to find out that, hey, look, Paris Hilton got drunk on her 25th birthday. There's a shocker. Now we know how the other side lives. Hey, look, it's George Clooney eating a hot dog. Whew! We know. Oh, and then there's an article about Princess Diana. Like, if we figure out how she died, she'll magically come back. Like, death is some kind of algebra problem or something. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas vacationing. Oh, well, thank goodness we finally found out that people with millions of dollars can go to the beach. God bless them.
3 seconds.
That's enough. I think I did just fine.
Yeah, you did just fine. You're the best number 5 comic we've ever had on this show.
Thanks, baby.
And I'm not just saying that, right, fellas? I mean, we've seen the number 5 comic slot come, and we've seen them go.
Yeah, well, I like to make a mark with my anonymity.
You did a wonderful job, number 5. And now, comedian number 6.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good, yourself.
Well, first female we've come across thus far.
Yes, the ladies are in the building.
Yeah. Now, you've been, I guess we can't ask questions where you're from. How long have you been doing stand-up?
We 7 can ask and some change.
7 years and change? How's it been going?
Fantastic.
You, now, were you able, were you making a full-time go of it? Were you making a living before
full-time,
this?
Full-time, lost my job about 3.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Full-time, 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Oh, really?
Customer service supervisor.
Perfect. Yeah, I think I've seen you before.
I think you have, too.
Yeah. You may have argued over the phone.
Absolutely.
All right, are you ready? Now, what was your magazine?
Astrology, numerology, and hot sex.
Right. Well, this seems like it could work. And did you have any understanding of this topic before you went into it?
A little bit.
So it's good. At least you got something you were semi-familiar
yes,
with, sir. Right?
Yes. Hot sex, I'm very familiar with that.
All right. Well, okay. For me, it's more numerology. But anyway, to each their own. You ready to start?
Ready to start.
All right. Make us laugh.
Okay. They talked about sleeping on the silk sheets.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important what type of material that you sleep on because it affects you mentally because it's about mind, body, and spirit. But don't have sex on the silk sheets because your ad, how many people have had sex on the silk sheets and the silk sheets were on the floor? Now you're just having sex on the quilt.
Right.
And then they talked about online dating. I strongly suggest if you're going to go online dating to find your karma match, you need to get a webcam. Because what you think you see is not what you get. You need to have that webcam so that you can date that person and see what you're getting into. And it also talks about abstaining from abusive language when you're having sex. I beg to differ, because if you call me a bitch, depending on the position, I might like that.
Well, that's a good note to go out on. Yes.
Really? tells you no foul language in the bedroom?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't.
I'll find the page for you.
I canceled my subscription to astrology, numerology, and hot sex, because I'm all about the foul language.
Me too, baby.
Yeah, you like that?
Excitement. It brings excitement to the bedroom.
You like a little what I call rough trade?
Oh, if it ain't rough, it ain't right.
Yeah, a little tug on the hair, a little tap on the ass. No disrespect. Yeah. You have your safe word, right?
Yeah.
All right. I don't need to know it. You can shout it all you want. That's my whole thing with people's safe word. You got it. It's enough. Keep it close to the vest. Now put the gimp ball on and let's get down. Yes?
You ready?
No, I'm just kidding. All right, nice job. Oh, boy, I got to keep scoring everyone. Now, that was number six. That was comic six, right? Seven and eight are already in the slot.
A romantic connection between ace and number six.
Yeah.
May result in some extra stars.
I felt the most, you know, in terms of fireworks, you know, romantic fireworks, number six and number one. I think comic number one, I think, in terms of connection. And let me tell you something. I don't ask to see your driver's license. I either connect or I don't. I don't care what you are, male, female. We connect. We're human beings. Yeah, we're people first. I'm a male second, maybe possibly third. All right, comedian number seven.
Hey.
Let's see what we got here. We got Sparring, the magazine.
Very exciting.
Boxing magazine.
Riveting.
So I'm guessing they give you the magazine that's a little bit of an against type. Like, they wouldn't give you a fantasy baseball Jew. For instance, if we were doing this. I don't know if there's such a magazine. Perhaps there should be.
I am the publisher of that magazine.
Yes, you're right on the masthead of Fantasy Baseball Jew. But you would not give Dave Fantasy Baseball Jew. You would give him Young Bride or something that he didn't have, he wasn't familiar with. And I guess it's
Like Fantasy Baseball Jew.
You probably have more to go off of than Sparring, the magazine.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you really think about it, if you're writing a boxing magazine, isn't the pressure off? Typos, grammatical errors, whatever. Which there did you use? Hey, you have the T-H-E-R-E. You should have been... Please give me a break.
Same deal with High Times.
Yeah, High Times and boxing magazine. If you're writing something for the New Yorker, you got all these yuppie NYU guys reading it, going over their jeweler's loop. You're doing a Sparring magazine. Who cares? All right, you ready to do your weave your comedic magic?
Let's go.
Number seven.
That's it.
And make mirth.
I gotta tell you, when I have a day, I like to cuddle up to my magazine Sparring. You know, it's either that or my other favorite, The Final Exit. Those two put me in a good mood. But you know, this week there was an article, four pages, about a karate gi. Now I don't know how much could be said about a shmata with a belt. But they seem to have spoken much about it, and it was riveting, I have to say. And thank God it comes out twice a month, because I don't know what I would do without it. But also, there was a lot about martial arts, and they're adding a few. You know, one of my favorite is Wu Dang. Very exciting, Wu Dang. And they have Tai Chi, has been around for years, but they have a new one called Chai Tea. And, you know, how it works is that you go to Starbucks, spend $9, and spill it on someone. It's very effective. And, of course, one of my favorites is jiu-jitsu. Okay? Because I'm a Jew. Okay.
All right,
nobody
that's
can
it. I got
All
it.
Right, you got that. You got that.
No, I did that.
I'm sorry,
we're out of time.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I know.
That's the best news I've heard today.
Sorry to step on the jiu-jitsu with the Jewish fantasy baseball crack at the beginning of the bit. Nice job. Let's see. So you're, I'm sorry, number seven. Number eight.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
How you doing?
You got Hot Rod. What do you got? Hot Rods today?
Yes. It's a great subject. It's cool.
You know anything about cars?
I know a little. I just bought one. That's cool. That's great.
What'd you get?
I bought a Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the gas hasn't affected me yet. So
newer Lincoln or older one?
Older one, 02.
No, yeah, that's not
so,
too old.
Yeah, I'm good with it so far. I had to get one since I live here.
All right, so you got yourself a car, you're out here in Los Angeles, and you're going to do your routine on hot rods today.
Yes.
Here we go.
You know what? First of all, it just trips me out because they have these cars and they have these models in front of them like you're supposed to really notice the car.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of like putting a crack dispenser in Whitney Houston's house and saying, look at the feng shui in the living room. This is great. Did you notice how we put the couch right here? I mean, but it just proves the point that, you know what, if you look good, you can promote anything. It doesn't even matter. Like, if you look good enough, you can promote a Klan rally. And you're like, you know what, I can't believe they putting this racist stuff in. I'm telling you, serious business, you know what, like John Kerry would have been president if he would have had some background dancers. Seriously, like, where does he stand?
Nice.
It's just, I mean, plus they put all these things in the cars. Like, I watched Pimp My Ride, and they put, like, some of the weirdest things in there. Like, they say, well, we're going to put a stripper pole in a Starbucks. like, what, in the Geo Metro? How did you fit that in there, dude? I don't understand.
That's a good joke to go out on. We had 2 seconds. Nice job. Well, out of the gate a little bit rough, but then came on strong with the stripper pole in the Starbucks and the Geo Metro. Yeah, I like the Geo Metro. It had 3 cylinders. It was like somebody decided 4 cylinders, way too many. Who are you, the Sultan of Brunei? You want 4 cylinders in your car? Please.
That was my first car, a Geo Metro.
Really?
Yeah, my first car.
3 cylinders, right? Motorcycles have 4 cylinders.
Yeah, I was
3 cylinders.
I was going that day.
More cylinders than wheels.
That's true.
I mean, less, I should say.
Less.
But do the math right. You knew what I meant. All right, see, that's how not to deliver a joker. But see, let me score that one. Oh, that's tough. Oh, that's good. Who's, let's go number 9. Who
we
have
here?
How you
doing,
Adam? Modern knitting?
I got modern knitting.
Well, at least you're female. Do you know anything about this?
No, I do not. I don't know a thing about knitting, so I was kind of excited to find out.
Does there need to be a modern knitting? Has knitting changed that much in the last 35 years?
Yes. Out of style.
Oh, this ain't your mom's hook and loop. Whatever they're doing. All right. So, also, yeah, I got twins on the way, so occasionally people will knit things for the kids, and I don't like it.
That's
I'd rather you just buy it. Just buy it for me, because now I'm in. You know, when someone knits something to you, you can never really do anything bad to them ever again.
Frame it.
They give you booties.
Know.
All right, so you're ready to go with modern knitting?
Yep.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, I'm wondering who's reading modern knitting, except for I think Martha Stewart probably used it in prison for masturbation material. So if you're wondering what's going on in the knitting world, just knit yourself a noose and end it right now. They've got ads for, like, arts and craft shows, but if you can't afford to go to these and hang out with the who's of the yarnsters, just knit yourself some fat friends to start your period with. While you're at it, why don't you go ahead and knit yourself a vibrator, because you're a lonely spinster. Yeah, they've got all these patterns for how to make kids' outfits. I mean, do you really want to send your kid to school in the outfit you know they're going to get their ass kicked for?
Dave's mom did.
Can you really? I mean, while you're at it, go ahead and knit them a new self-esteem. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. I don't like knitting. I didn't like the magazine. But I enjoyed talking just now.
All right. You could end early, but it's 10 seconds early.
Knitting, and we're done.
All right. Wow. Tough. I'll tell you. I like you picking the knitting angle with the knitting the vibrator, knitting the self-esteem, but ran out after 47 seconds. And listen, I don't do that much stand-up, but I know if you're going to do, like, the middle act or even if you open, they need at least 80 seconds. Because I got into some trouble contractually over at the Hermosa Magic Comedy Club there when I just did a 28-second middle act.
I'm working up to my headlining modern knitting set.
All right.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, one day when you're headlining and you have to do, let's say, 112 to 115 seconds, you're going to need that material.
Right out of steam.
It was strong stuff. Yeah. Jesus.
That's my goal.
Not sure what to do.
4 hours a day, I try to come up with 11 seconds of gold for the show. And that usually is mediocre enough.
Yep. That wasn't it just then. Beefcake. So are we at number 10?
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Wow. This guy looks, the guy on the cover of Beefcake looks like me if I was good looking.
I kind of thought that when I saw it.
You ever see the good-looking version of you? It's disappointing. You're like, wow, this is what it would be like. Be getting laid in high school, career opportunities instead of digging ditches when I was 19. Wow, what a... Yeah. So this is sort of if me and Pete Sampras and a third person that was good-looking had a kid, you know. They always do that thing where it's two people having a kid. Why not three people if you're the same sex? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, if me and Dave had a kid, why not add a third dude? That's all I'm saying. All right, so this is what I would look like if I was good-looking. Beefcake is the name of the magazine. Comic number 10.
Hi.
How do you feel?
I feel pretty good. I've been up for a few days, but I feel good.
Oh, yeah. You got a little of that Rhoda thing going for
you. Yeah,
ya.
A little bit. A little bit.
You're from... Oh, we can't say where you're from.
Yeah,
but
I'm from America.
Well, I'm guessing you're from one of the blue states, right?
Yes.
Because you have a sense of humor.
That's correct.
You ready to go here?
Yeah, yes? Right now?
Well, we'll do it this morning at some point. Maybe after news and sports. Yeah, right now. You ready?
Yeah, I brought today from Beefcake Magazine the top six ways... to avoid blowing out your tar hole when lifting 800 pounds of weight or more.
Mm-hmm.
Other words for tar. Number one, when lifting upwards of 800 pounds, be sure to breathe out.
Yeah.
Because holding it in will blow it right out.
Sure.
Number two, pay attention to your muscular wall tension.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel something coming, honor it.
Ah, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Also, it's probably a good idea to take a day off from lifting if you've consumed beer and onion rings the night before.
Right, I'm writing.
Okay, please do. This
yes,
is very
I'm writing
important.
This down.
And when you're squat deadlifting, mm-hmm. 500 pounds or more, have a spotter that's willing to hold your ass close.
Yes, nice.
Number five,
oh,
this is a good...
Oh, we're out of time.
Oh, number five was so good.
All right, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you spit out five, but if it's anything less than a nine, you're going to be penalized.
Okay, are you ready?
You want to think about
no,
it?
No, I know this one. This is a good one. Don't be afraid to put a tampon. I'll go with that.
I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to deduct points because I'm tired of people asking me if I'm ready when I'm sitting down looking at them and not speaking. Are you ready? I'm sitting here. My mouth isn't moving and both eyes are on your forehead. Obviously, I'm ready to take whatever you got. All right, tampon. Woo! I'll tell you, it is tough because everybody... was good. And Dave, and Christina, you back me up. We got to take a break here. You chime in. We're going to come back. I'll tell you who we thought won. You guys can call in and tell us who you thought won. No stinkers, but no clear-cut
tens.
No tens, nothing really under six in my mind. Lots of things between the 6 and 8.5 realm, yes?
Yeah, some stars. How about for you? Stars for you?
I feel like... Generally speaking, people were solid and in the same ballpark. I feel like, we'll get to the scores, but I felt like number nine was really ahead of the pack and then quit early. It was interesting.
Yeah, pulled up. You know what it's like? A 100-yard sprint, 100 meters, right. Leading, and at the 90-meter mark,
ran
pulled up with
steam.
A hamstring.
Right.
Hamstring, tough. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with the winner from the last Comic Standing.
Now, back to the Adam Sakara Show. Call now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Last Comic Standing is what we've been working on. Let's see, Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos going to be calling in a few. Let's just take your calls for a second. Felicia?
Yes, this is me.
Yes,
Adam.
Felicia, yes.
Adam, number nine, definitely. She might have cut it off a little slow, but she is definitely the one. I gotta laugh at anything Martha Stewart.
Right. All right. You're not just saying that because she's a fellow female, ironically?
No, not at all.
All right.
Not at all. The spinster's got to go number one.
It was good stuff. I agree. All right. Let's get a vote for number nine. Danny?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
How say you? Who'd you like?
I tell you what, that Geo Metro guy, that dude was a hands-down winner, man. I think that guy filled the time. He was comfortable. He was confident.
What number was a Geo Metro? Eight? All right. Well, yeah, I gave eight a pretty good score. All right, so you're going eight. Geo Metro,
I'm going eight.
All right, let's see. Let's talk to line six. Marcos?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think, well, I like contestant number two. I'm a big sucker for alternate voices or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I know who he is. So,
oh, you do?
Really is, yeah. Mm-hmm. If it really is who I think it is, I think I'm going to be watching the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to have to watch to find out if it really is who you think it is.
Yeah.
So you'll watch anyway.
Yeah.
But then if you find out it's not who you think it is, you'll stop watching the show.
Maybe.
Okay. Thank you for that. Jeff?
Yeah.
Who'd you like?
Hey.
Who'd you like?
You know what? I like 1 and 9. One started off the show, and so he was awkward, but he still ended up strong, even being all awkward. It was funny. But number 9, she seemed like she had a solid 45 minutes to come up with that material as opposed to 20 or something.
Yeah.
So that was really impressive.
She did a nice job. All right. Well, let's talk about that, because I had number 9 at the top of my list, but I almost feel like she needs to be cut because she didn't finish the competition in a certain sense. She ran out at about 45 to 47, and then sort of, you know, we laughed about the last 10 seconds. But I don't know technically if that's a deal breaker for you guys.
I disagree.
You disagree.
Now, I feel like she built up a substantial enough lead, sort of, and then just kept playing keep away. Went into the four corners offense.
Interesting.
Right.
So she got a nice lead, and just in the last round of the championship fight was so head on points.
Just danced
for the last round.
Exactly, yeah.
Interesting. Christina, what do you think?
Well, I was looking for an LOL, a laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I only got a laugh out loud on one, and it was one.
Number one.
Number one. He was my only laugh out loud.
So you're going with number...
My scoring system was really bad.
Yeah, you don't have anything written there.
Well
there
nobody,
is a Hello Kitty.
Nobody...
And then there's a guy named Mark inside a heart. I love you. I don't know who that is. Get to that. All right. Now we're running late. Okay, so let's pick... I'll tell you what. We'll narrow it down to 3. We'll play a round of Ask Kiss Rodeo with these 3, and whoever rises to that occasion, I will declare the winner, all right? All right, so let's just try to figure this out. I'll be honest. I had 2. I gave 2 a good score. I gave 3 a good score. I gave 8 a good score. I gave 9 a good score, and I gave 10 a good score. I think 9 was the best, but again, I'm just not sure what to do with that running out of steam at the 46-second mark.
But we're in the same boat. Yeah, I gave similar scores to 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I know that's a lot of people. I feel 7 and 8, though. Fair or not. Maybe this is inaccurate, but... You know, the judge speaks, and that's the final word.
Yes.
I say 7 and 8 maybe tapped into some existing material.
Yeah, there was a little...
I felt that they didn't speak from the heart.
7 got into the comet, got into the presidential stuff. Was 7 or 8 getting into the Al Gore or the... I'm trying to think who the president... Was it presidential political stuff?
No. That was sparring.
Okay. All right, Dave, let's try to figure this out. Then.
All right. I say...
You're going 9, then.
I like 9 very much.
I'll go 9. I was going to eliminate her on a technicality. Let's go 9, 3, and one more.
9, 3, and I would say choose between 6 and 10.
All right. Well, I have 10 and not 6, so I'm going to go 10.
All right.
All right. So 3, 9, and 10. We'll be back to play a round of Ask Kiss Rodeo, and then we'll declare a winner.
And I thought 4 was good, too.
And...
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Christina Guerrero in here doing news for us today. Good to see you, Sweet Pea.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to be here.
We are down to our final 3 with the last comic standing. We decided I couldn't decide who was the funniest, so we decided to do a little spirited round of Ask Kiss Rodeo. Lynch, can we hear how it goes from Jeff Probst? This is our celebrity winner of Ask Kiss Rodeo, by the way, and this is how the game is played. I feel like I need to lose weight. I feel heavy.
You?
Bloated.
Wow. You look lean as a machine.
I love sushi.
Sushi is maybe the best meal out there.
I hate sushi.
And then there are times when sushi goes through you and you think, why'd I just eat it?
You see, whatever I say, you agree with. Not only that, but it's good improv training. It's good date training. Good marriage training. I was watching the news this morning, and they're talking about this whole Katie Holmes silent birth stuff. And I thought, what about the silent marriage? You know, I'm no Scientologist. You know, get it out of your system during the birthing, and then zip it after we get married. Well, now that's a religion I would get behind, silent marriage. What do you want for dinner, honey? What'd you do this weekend? I think it would go. I think if nobody would talk in a relationship, do you think it would add 6 years to every marriage?
Oh, yeah.
Quite easily. Yes, my folks would still be together. All right, so we're going to start with contestant or comic number 10. We have 45 seconds. It's just pretty much yes and. Let's get rolling, Lynch.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
I think Richard Pryor's the best stand-up ever.
The best ever. He's amazing. He's a groundbreaker.
Yeah,
the best.
I hate Richard Pryor. Overrated.
Yeah, just dirty is what he did. He was just filthy.
Work blue.
Yeah.
I think contestant number 9 has got to be the funniest last comic standing
amazing.
Of the bunch.
Amazing. I've never seen anyone prettier or funnier on the planet, really.
Yeah.
The best.
I don't like 9. Not my cup of tea. Not funny.
Yeah, I don't know why she's here. It's awkward for everybody.
Bottled water. Great device, this bottle. What an invention.
Oh, it's so refreshing. It's so much better than tap. By far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't bring it. It's too expensive.
It's really expensive and really lacks fluoride.
Ooh, lacks fluoride. Not bad out of the gate.
That's good.
Not bad out of the gate. I would have liked to seen more of it turn toward me. You know what I mean? It should be legal to drink bottled water, except for you, Your Highness. You need to stay hydrated.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it was nice, and you did a good job. But just a tip for those who are going second, third. Nice to turn it back toward the king. Well, we played Jeff Probst. You know, you heard him. You heard him turn it back to me. You did a nice job. That was a solid job. All right, ready to get started? Number 3?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Comic number 10. Pretty good job in Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Well, she's got to be happy knowing that she's got your approval.
Guess you took my last note to heart. I say the war in Iraq is a just one.
As well it is. And you know what? Any boy dying over there is happy knowing that you're behind them.
I say we pull the troops out. This is a big mistake.
It is a mistake. And you know what? I'll make a call so that you can get on with your busy day.
Thank you. Celine Dion, a great performer.
Oh, if only she could sing for you daily. That's how you should wake up.
I think the woman should be shot.
She should. I'll get a gun and I'll hand it to you.
Wow. I'm not sure about me doing my own dirty work there.
You, of course, would have henchmen.
I prefer you do my bidding in case there's trouble with
point,
the law.
Adam.
Yeah.
Has the clock run out?
Yes.
Of course you're right.
I don't want to have to do that thing where I wipe down the handle of the gun with my shirt sleeve like they used to do. I don't know why. They invented gloves or fingerprints, not as big a deal. Man, there used to be a whole wiping down thing that took place.
Also, in the 80s
I could get
movies,
out those stains for you,
the 80s teenage movies, there's always the main bad guy, the main bully in high school, and then he has his henchmen. It's like, boys, take him outside and rough him up. Like, what do we have to take him outside for? I have no beef with this character.
Yeah. Yeah, what if I told you to take someone? Tad, take Dave outside and rough him up. Tad, straighten your hat, by the way. I don't like that.
I can't make you happy, can I?
No. Right. Well, you could. You could leave. Or you could take yourself outside and rough yourself up. That'd be nice, too. Listen, let me just say this. I know we're on Ask Kiss Rodeo, but the people, you know, like when the brothers wear the shorts that are falling down where their ass, you know, they got the belt up high and then the underpants up high, but the pants are down below their cheeks, or the guys who wear their hats crooked. It's uncomfortable to me. It's like perpetually, it's like living in a society where you're eating across the table from someone who has a piece of broccoli on their tooth. Like, it's bothersome. Mm-hmm. You know, when people take stuff, like they're wearing things that are inside out, or they're wearing stuff like that are backwards or turned askew, that's sort of F with you. Doesn't bother you to watch guys who have the hats that are turned sort of sideways? Not backward, but sideways. Doesn't feel weird? You don't feel it on your scalp? No?
Doesn't? I hear your noise, yeah.
It makes me walk sideways. It throws me off. It doesn't? All right. All right, let's go to our last comic. Now, last comic, number 9.
How you doing?
Probably has the best advantage after hearing the first two go. That will be factored in. I will factor that into the game.
And you should. Whatever you want to do is what you should do.
That's right.
It's an honor and privilege to kiss your ass today, Adam.
Yes. All right, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Are.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Woo! I think fart jokes are funny.
I don't care what people say.
Yeah.
I love fart jokes. I love it when you make them the best. When you make them, they're the best fart jokes ever.
Yeah. Barely hung on.
Wow. Yeah, man. I think they're sophomoric and immature. I don't think we need fart jokes in today's comedy.
If you're not into fart jokes, they just lost their luster.
Las Vegas, best city in the world.
I love Las Vegas. I would take you to Las Vegas in my car. I would take you to Las Vegas in a plane.
Hate Vegas.
I'll make sure and burn it down.
Yeah. I like reality shows. I don't like sitcoms.
I love reality shows. There should be more reality shows with you on them.
Yeah. I hate reality shows. I think sitcoms are the way to go.
I definitely, yeah. I'll make sure and tape a whole bunch for you and save them up.
Tape, not DVD? You're not going to burn any DVDs?
I'll go out and DVD them. Yeah. I'll label them.
That's enough.
All right.
I've heard enough. I don't like the quality of the VCR.
I don't either.
Oh, who said that?
I don't like the quality either, nice Adam. I like what you like.
All right.
Now, by the way, before yes. we get to the judging of this, yes.
she's hanging out.
Yes.
Hey, there are no rules. There are no rules.
No, there's not. That's a good idea. That's a great rule.
And by the way,
it's not Ask His Dave Rodeo.
No, right. In fact, you'll have points deducted for that.
Sure.
Now, but before a final judgment is rendered, what's at stake? Do you get like immunity?
Get immunity.
Immunity.
Yeah. So you cannot be eliminated.
That's correct.
And if you're number 2, it is no different than being number 10.
Not a bit.
In the competition.
No difference.
Correct.
Wow, that's rough. No silver. Well, okay. To me, it's between comic number the first and the second. I'm going to check my page here. Number 9. Number 10 and number 3. Right?
Yes.
I thought they did the best. Now, I thought number 3 technically was the best, but number 10 had to go first. And then since picked up a couple of points in between. Mm. Yes?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And number 10 also gets a little... I like the use of fluoride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was
highbrow
really,
reference. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good.
And I'm checking my original scores. Number
That's like Scrabble. That's what's worth more points.
I gave number 3 and number 10 both an 8.2. I was going to go back and look at my initial page and say, well, whoever scored higher on that, I'm just going to give it since it's a coin toss. Ah, it's tough. I know number 3. Therefore, I give it to number 10. Yes.
Wow.
Thank you. I know.
Seem quick.
Seem quick.
Thank you. You made the right decision.
Let me explain what that was.
I don't have to play Ass Kiss Rodeo anymore, but I will.
Basically, what that was pulling the Band-Aid off your young son's elbow. He's got an ouchie, and you say, on the count of 3, Jeremiah, 1. You don't wait till 3. It's going to be focused
on it. As a matter of fact,
yes.
I had 3 by a hair as the winner, but of course, ultimately, the vote belongs to you.
Well, I got to be honest. I know number 3... I know him to be a very funny man, and I feel like in a coin toss situation, and it was just that, a coin toss, 3, you're marginally better, but 1, or 10, the person that went first, comic number 10, had a disadvantage of not being able to hear the other contestants go
so
first.
You're an honorable man. You're trying to...
I don't want it to look like,
integrity.
He picked his buddy.
Right.
I got the business commercial from number seven.
Yeah. Got to hear both of us and trailed. Lagged far behind.
A compelling point, yes.
And yet too late.
Thank you.
And yet
three,
too
really
damn late,
that.
Isn't
too
it?
Too late, all
and
right.
So as a result, number 10 now, immune.
Immune.
I am immune without even taking a needle.
Go out and have sex with a Haitian and don't use a condom because, sweetie, you are immune. Thanks so much.
Congratulations.
Yes,
I meant everything
standing.
I said.
Thank you. Okay. We will take ourselves
Thanks,
a break.
Guys.
Thank you, number 3.
3's out the door. He owned.
going to be rough if number three calls me tonight. Adam? Yes, this is number three. Oh, Christ, this is uncomfortable.
This is awkward.
That's why I got to get that that call manager, you know, where I look, call screener. Ooh, number three's on the phone. Ooh, honey, don't pick up.
I don't want this one.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Frank Vincent from The Sopranos, Phil Leotardo. We have news. We have sports all coming up after this.
This is Jeff Probst, and you are listening to the greatest radio and television personality of all time. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Well, that's it for Last Comic Standing. Frank Vincent. You know him as Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos. Frank?
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Frank. Good to talk to you.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's always nice to talk to you early Monday morning because it's surreal because the last thing I watch before I go to bed Sunday night is The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I see you taking care of business.
How do you like that show?
Great episode last night.
great show.
Yeah. I like it, Vito, trying to figure out what's going on with Vito, whether he's gay or what happened with him.
You're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, well, last we left off, he's at the hotel room with his gun, right?
Well, I think he's definitely gay, of course. But
oh, yes. Whether he's going to, is he going to kill the guys that found out he's gay, or is he going to kill himself?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we saw him in his leather, so we know he's committed now. He's committed to being gay,
sure.
We know that much.
Sure.
So I think what happens, maybe, I don't know, he seemed like he ran away. Didn't it look like that?
Yeah, it did, but he also brought the gun. It was unclear. You know, sometimes people go away to cheap motels to kill themselves. Hey, let me, here's an interesting question. You have the first 12. You're doing 12, and then you're doing 8, right?
Yeah.
The first 12 are in the can. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you'll begin the next 8 when?
That date is not set. It looks like end of June, beginning of July.
Mm-hmm. And do you know, and I'm just asking you personally, everything about the first 12 episodes?
Yes.
You read the entire script, you saw what was shot, and have you seen them?
No.
You've not? Would they let you see them?
No.
They will not?
I saw it last night like you saw it.
So that's the first time you get to see it. Now, and when you do watch it, how close to the script is it? Are you surprised at certain things? Are there things that were cut out that you remember shooting?
Yes. What happens is when they shoot it, they overshoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a tremendous amount of coverage. That's why it takes so long to shoot an episode. It takes probably 15 days to shoot an episode. That's like shooting a movie.
Right.
But Frank,
yeah.
Tell this much. Vito he went to the feds, and he's gonna the whole gig's up now. Yes, that's
no.
How it's gonna go.
No. Not even close.
Really?
Not even close. Do you have to insult him? Let's listen to a little clip from last night. This is Phil Leotardo at Johnny Sack's daughter's wedding. Oh, this is Johnny Sack, right? Crying first.
Right.
Let's go. Did you let my daughter leave at least? Come on.
Daddy, what's happening?
I will not ask you again.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
Get your hands off him.
John?
Sack crying.
I'll tell you one thing.
Sack.
I'm not ashamed to say it.
Oh, Phil.
My estimation of John Sacrimony as a man just plummeted. Give him a break, will you? It's an emotional day. To cry like a woman, it's a disgrace. It's a coach turned into a pumpkin.
I like that.
Like a woman.
I noticed when I was watching the credits last night that the last name of the actress who played Johnny Sack's daughter was Van Zandt.
No. Johnny Sack's daughter is Van Zandt? No.
I swear it was on the credits last time. My wife and I took note of it.
Maureen Van Zandt is Stevie Van Zandt's wife.
Right. She plays his wife in the show. Right.
She's his real wife.
Right. Right.
So Maureen Van Zandt, when you see that credit, that's who that is.
Right. When I was reading the credit for the actress who played the daughter who got married, there was a Van Zandt in there, but maybe it was another one.
I don't know about that. Yeah, maybe it's different. Maybe it's the same name, different crew.
Yeah, because my thing is, you know, that's the deal I'm going to make with my daughter. You get fat, you can't act. That's daddy's way of shaming you.
Don't you love the way that they portrayed the family, though? Isn't that terrific?
Oh, it's a great
Ginny
stuff.
And the wife and everything.
Fantastic.
I'll give you a little insight. Now,
yes,
we did that wedding scene. It took almost 2 weeks to do the church and the wedding.
Wow.
Now they hired a regular band to play, mm-hmm. a regular house band who plays at that location, and they hired an MC.
Mm-hmm.
Regular guy who does that every night of his every week of his life, right?
Right.
This guy had to do 32 takes
of everything
to introduce the bride and the groom.
Yeah,
but he just appled completely.
It is crazy how many different angles and how much coverage. And first you got to get it from this guy's point of view, then you got to get it from that point of view. You never use three quarters of it, and it's all shot on film in your case.
But you're saying he choked though.
Oh, he choked. He said, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, the guy said, don't look at the camera. He said, okay, just try it again. Ladies and gentlemen, cut. So he was just, finally, Steve Buscemi directed this episode, by the way. He finally got out of him. Steve's a wonderful director, and he's a great guy, and he finally got it out of the guy. But the guy worked very hard to get it, I tell you.
Do you know, we were talking about how long it takes, and each one of these is like shooting a feature, 2 weeks, just shooting the whole wedding thing. How much does an episode cost, ballpark? Do you have any idea?
Over $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, because I can never figure it out. If I'm HBO, I'm saying, look, we got to save some money here, folks, because we don't really get ratings. We just have subscriptions, and people are subscribing anyway.
Right.
Let's not throw it all into this.
I heard that they were way over budget this past season. And interesting enough, the hospital scene, the hospital where Tony was in,
mm-hmm.
that's a set that was built on the stage in Silver Cup. And that set cost $1 million.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like the actual mob. All right. I want to give Frank Vincent a little plug for coming on and doing his thing with us every Monday morning. We appreciate it. You're calling from New York, right?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey, because do you live in New Jersey, or are you just there for filming?
No, I live in New Jersey. I'm not filming now. We're done.
Right. And you'll start your last date soon, but they won't tell you when.
No, we haven't got a date yet, but they're talking. It'll probably be after the 4th of July, I'm suspecting.
All right. And what are you doing, by the way, now, besides hanging out with us?
I'm out promoting my book, A Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man.
Right. Available now?
Yep. And
DVD?
Books
on cassette?
Amazon, and all the bookstores, yeah. A Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man. And I'm promoting my T-shirts, frankvincent.com, Billy Basker, home and get your shine box.
I yelled that at my wife over the weekend, by the way.
And I'm going to Florida next week for a vacation, so I'm going to relax then.
Oh, good. Also, the DVD release of This Thing of Ours.
This Thing of Ours.
And VL went to the feds.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Frank Vincent. We appreciate it.
Adam, I'll see you next week.
I'll be looking forward to that. Wow. Yeah. I mean, you really think about what's involved with just shooting last night's Sopranos, just shooting the wedding scene last night, all the extras. I mean, you essentially have to throw a wedding just to shoot it, and then all the different angles and the conversations and, over this guy's shoulder and then set up and go over here. Really is insane.
That was great. That whole stuff, all that stuff, but the Johnny Sack with his family and the planning of who sits at what table and all that sort of thing was fantastic. Hysterical.
We will take ourselves a break. We will be back, finally, with news and sports after this.
Hey! This is Def Black Guy. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Just finishing up with the last Comic Standing, people. Had some cue cards they wanted me to read. I swear to Christ, if I knew all the stuff I was going to misspell and read and stuff, I would have learned how to read. I thought I was going to spend a life digging ditches and cleaning carpets. I didn't know there's going to be a bunch of scripts and cue cards and crap like that. But, you know, I just experienced what I miss most about television, which was they had all the comics from Last Comic Standing all sitting out there, and then I had to go sort of reenact what we were going to do, what we did this morning, do a little setup, all right? You've all been asked here to do blah, blah, blah. And I said, gee, seems like we need to turn down this commercial that's above us. The speaker's directly above my head. This is going to interfere with what I'm doing. No, it's all right. Let's go ahead and let's do it. all right. So I went out there and did my long-winded, okay, you're all here. You have your 10 envelopes. In each envelope, is it that took 45 minutes. And then I walked away, and they said, well, we're going to have to do that again. And I said, why? Well, you could hear the commercial coming right through the thing. And I said, yeah, I did bring that up. But now there's nothing they can do about it. I suppose we could tape a napkin or something over the speaker. But it is my favorite part of TV and the part I miss the most about TV, where I say before we do something, don't you think we need to take care of this? And someone goes, no, let's just do it. Then you do it, and I go, all right, now let's do it again. All right. You know, whoever invented film or videotape or whatever it is has to be delighted. We were just speaking to Frank Vincent about this, about Hollywood's just do it again. You know what I mean? It's like if you sold blank canvases for painters, you'd be delighted that every time someone just put a drop of paint on it, they just throw it out and say, I'm going to start over again. You'd sell millions of these things, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact that The Sopranos goes through an extra 750,000 miles of film every episode that never makes it onto the television has to be delightful if you're Kodak or Fuji or whoever actually manufactures the film. That's what you want. If you manufacture something, you want people to toss them out all the time. Yeah, you make baseball mitts. Kid buys it and he keeps it into his 40s. You make toilet paper. That you only use 2-3 times and then it's gone.
You always need more toilet paper.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they're saying.
All right.
I'm fascinated by, but I have to say this.
No.
The one that fascinates me is like the horseradish thing. Mm-hmm. If you're in the business of horseradish and that's the only thing you make, you see those shows on like the Food Network where they just show, you know, conveyor belt of like what appears to be 17 million bottles of horseradish a day.
Yes.
Going by in the conveyor belt. Who eats that
Who
much horse?
Eats
you buy one thing of horseradish and it lasts you for like a year and a half. How do they turn it? And it goes for like 59 cents.
Well,
how do they turn a profit
I'll tell you how it works. First off, it's like institutional stuff. Like when they do those specials on the aircraft carriers, the floating city, and they say that they use a metric ton of parsley to prepare the dishes. I think it's the institutions that use the metric tons of horseradish. But the second thing is those kind of condiments, the horseradish sauce, is one of these things that you'll never use the last drop of. It'll always go bad before it gets to the halfway point.
Huh.
That's how they make. There's three things I figured out. The condiment horseradish sauce always goes bad before you actually get to the bottom because it's in there for 9 months. How often do you make the brisket? The other one that goes is black tape, the black electrical tape. You never get to the end of it. You'll lose it before you get to it. And rolling papers. You never pull the last rolling paper out of the thing. It's always, where's the rolling papers? I don't know. Someone go buy some. I have 756 half-empty rolling paper dispensers in some drawer with the black tape and the horseradish sauce right now. All still half full, but can't be used because either they can't be found or they've gone bad. That's what you want to create, a product that goes south after you bust its cherry. Make a list.
I'm gonna start working on that right now.
Yes, there are things. It's like salsa. Unless you're throwing a party, you rarely get to the very bottom of the salsa. You crack the salsa because you're gonna dump a little on the eggs, and then 2 weeks later you open it and it's bubbling, and then you dump the whole thing out. I suggest more salsa gets tossed than consumed every year.
Probably true.
Cool. Right.
Conspiracy. Yes. All right. We ready to do a little news, by the way, Christina?
Yeah, I'm all set.
Christina is filling in, doing the news for the next couple days. This is Christina Guerrero.
Lovely
and
Latina.
The news.
Latina.
Yeah.
All right, more immigration protests are planned today across the country, but one California school has taken this thing to a whole new level. Now, to keep his students from skipping school, a principal in Artesia greased up a fence that surrounds the entire school with wheel grease.
Really?
Yes, with wheel grease. There's a really bad joke there, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
No.
Now, the parents were pretty upset about it, not because the kids were skipping school, which is why he did it in the first place, but because they were now covered in grease.
Well, hold on a second.
Isn't that an odd story?
Well, to grease an entire perimeter of a chain link fence? I mean, around a public school in Artesia, then that 10 miles of axle grease you have to sort of spread on. It's the consistency of just Vaseline. You have to spread that on the... That sounds bizarre.
It sounds bizarre, and it's also... It's to keep them from protesting about immigration, which they, of course, they want to put that big wall up. And so isn't it ironic a little
bit?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I would argue as a white man that maybe the fence was squeaking and it needed a little lubricating. Let me say this about that topic. I know you're a beautiful Latina and you probably have your own thoughts, but it struck me that really what we're looking for, we talked about balance before. What we want is, we want this to be a melting pot. We would like it to be 10% this nationality, 10%. We don't want it to dominate in any one. In Los Angeles, I think we're going a little dominant in the Latina thing or Latino thing. And that may sound racist, but here's what I'm saying.
Okay, where are you coming from?
Here's where I'm coming from. Okay. Los Angeles now about 50% Mexican at this point. If it was 50% French or 50% Korean or 50% German or 50% whatever, I would say we're topped off with that nationality.
Minnesota is all Scandinavian. Almost.
Right. What I'm saying is a little trade program. We'll trade you Minnesotans, some of our Mexicans. You throw some of your Scandinavians or whatever you got.
It's not a bad idea.
Because, you know what, it's like I was thinking about, you know, the movie, The Dirty Dozen. The reason these movies are great is because you have the demolition guy, you have the knife thrower, you have the second story man, you have the computer hacker. Right now, we got too many knife throwers. Mm-hmm. We got to trade a few knife throwers, get a demolition guy and a computer hacker. So that's the way it works.
Trade with Minnesota, because there's a lot of white people over there.
Or
and
whatever.
Like balance out the entire...
Listen, I've never seen a Puerto Rican. You think that's fair to them?
Pittsburgh's got all the Polish.
I got the Poles.
We spread them all out.
Thing,
balance everything out.
I'm from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I never met a Polish person. I've never met a Puerto Rican. I have Mexicans coming out the wazoo.
You just got one in today.
I just got another one. I can't shake these Mexicans. All I'm saying is, yeah, a little mix and match. Get that. Now, here's what you get out of that. Instead of the Mexican restaurant on every corner, now we got the kielbasa place over here next to the Mexican restaurant, next to the smorgasbord, the bit of Stockholm, right next to the kielbasa place, right next to the taco place, and that's melting pot. That's what you want, and that's what you need. This is where our society is at its best, because everyone sort of brings something to the table.
So it's not a melting pot when it's 50% Mexican.
No, that's crock pot.
That's the crock pot.
Yes. I don't know what the difference is, but crock pot's where things float around, big chunks of potato, carrot, and beef, but they don't melt. They just sit over
it's
there.
The crock pot.
Yeah,
that's
go hang out
pot.
With your carrots. Me and my onions will be over here shooting attitude at me. Go talk to Mr. Potato. Yes. Thank you.
You got it.
Someone's melting pot, not crock pot.
We want to be a melting pot.
That's right.
Now someone's in big trouble for showing Brokeback Mountain to male prison inmates in Massachusetts.
Wow.
A prison spokesperson says it's not the gay cowboys that they were worried about, but the graphic nature of sexually explicit scenes.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah. Sure, no one in prison has ever heard of gay sex.
No, not at all. Not
wow.
At all.
That's got to be funny. Oh, this is an eye-opening experience, male-on-male love. Interesting.
Pointers.
Oh, is that what was in me last night?
Okay, maybe. Bend over.
Maybe we could try that sometime, Luther.
Yeah.
Pointers. All right, it's official. San Francisco is the gayest city in the world.
I am gay.
Really?
I'm a lesbian. I'm a homosexual gay lesbian.
I know, this is news to everybody, right?
Yeah.
The reason it's official is because San Francisco's Department of Health says so. They make up 8% of the total population. Now, coming right behind San Francisco is Oakland, Seattle, which my friends in Seattle are listening right now, and Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, really?
None of my gay friends in Seattle, though, are listening.
Seattle.
Well, I know of, anyway.
Interesting. I wouldn't have, Florida would have been up there. Look, you need a warm climate. That'll turn you gay.
That'll turn you gay?
Yeah, it's one of these things where it's like, hey, I wasn't gay. Dave, you're not gay. Hey, what'd you do? What is this? Cutoffs? Yeah, this look good on you. What, you been working out?
Boy,
yeah.
that sun's really beating down on me. I could use some lotion. You mind putting some on my back there?
You missed a spot in between your shoulder blades there. You're gonna burn.
You rub it in real good.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah, so you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman's touch. Whew, I have another daiquiri. It's hot.
You don't need any lotion. You are bronze.
You see how it goes?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I see that. I was impressed. It seems like you guys have done that before. Well, it is really warm here in Los Angeles.
That doesn't work in the aforementioned Minnesota. This guy's all huddled up ice fishing. Forget it.
All right, here's something we reported last week about the prostitute that bit her client's penis. I thought she bit it off, but she did not bite it off. He had to have surgery. He didn't like that so much.
This was in what country? Is this England?
England. It was in England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the new info. He claims that she got mad when he ran out of cash, but she's now saying that she did it to protect herself because she was being raped.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
In the mouth.
Yeah.
She was being raped in the mouth. That's
well,
horrible.
you know, in movies, in the genre of porn, when there's rape, it starts with the mouth. But I never really thought about just how unrealistic that is. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you saying, I'm going to take this gator down by pulling its tongue out. Not a great strategy. Not a great strategy. But work away. Yeah, I would argue that they don't usually. Yeah, and of course, in the movies I watch, it's about a three count before the chick decides she either deserved it or enjoys it, or both.
A three count.
One, yeah, two and a half,
two,
usually.
Three.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Christina, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Well, if you're ever going to watch golf on TV, yesterday was the day to do it. The Masters. Mm. Phil Mickelson, your winner. Impressive effort. Mm. Especially for a man of his carriage.
Yes,
you see
big
him?
Man.
It's fat. Yeah. It's downright fat.
Yeah.
Makes Breska look like Calista Flockhart.
Yeah.
It's a pig, and he's the best at his sport.
Hold on. Calista Flockhart's not a lesbian. Oh, the weight.
Right.
The weight. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
The chunkiness was more.
I see. I thought about the sexual proclivity.
Yeah. No. Chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Okay.
Now, Mickelson. It's his second green jacket in 3 years. And as I mentioned on Friday, I give him extra points because he had the foresight to choose a nice outfit for Sunday to go with that green jacket. It was dyed my black shirt, gray pants. Well done, sir.
Mm.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Here is.
You missed a spot with that lotion. Can I get that for you? Yeah, it's tough. You're too muscular to reach in between your blades back there. Let me get that.
Don't leave it all caked up there. Just really rub it all the way.
You know, you got too much upper body to get to all parts. Let me help you.
Yeah, there you go. Go lower.
All right, let's go.
I don't want my tushy. Now, Phil Mickelson on cloud nine. He and his caddy worked wonderfully together. And here he is talking about how nicely it went.
When we come out with that type of focus and that type of energy, you know, it's tough for teams to beat us. You know, it's when we play the way we played tonight, we make it look like that. We make the game look even.
Phil Mickelson.
Wow, it sounded big and big.
Tough.
Yeah, sounded like
right,
tough.
I think he's mentally tough. And maybe didn't sound like a golfer. He intimidates the other people. National pastime. Dodgers split a doubleheader
melting
in Philly
pot,
yesterday.
Not a crock pot. We got a crock pot right now. We need a melting pot. We don't need
I
the
may
big
need some
chunks.
Work, by the way. Since well, crock pot doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well,
so what was your suggestion?
Well, here's what I'm saying. In the crock pot, you have the chunks of beef.
Right.
You see, the crock pot has all the things the melting pot has in it, but they've picked different sides. You got the beef, got a big chunk of beef over here, big chunk of carrot over here, and a big chunk of potato over here. We need to puree them.
So there's not enough beef going on in Minnesota, maybe.
Well, that's a different crock pot. Yeah, we're
crock pot of Los Angeles is.
Yeah, we're top heavy.
We've got too much beef.
No.
Yes.
Forget crock pot.
Right.
It's like a hungry man dinner.
Mm-hmm.
When they give you, they don't give you enough French.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you enough of the French fries.
Right.
They give you too much
too
Salisbury
steak. All right.
See?
We got too much Salisbury steak. We want to trade a bite. Just a bite of our Salisbury steak for a fry from Minnesota.
And I don't know what ethnicity this is, but we definitely never need those green beans.
No.
They're terrible.
Don't. Maybe they're French.
All right. Now, Snakes of Arizona shut out the Brewers. That means now the Tigers and the Brewers both will not go undefeated. There's not going to be a single team that goes 162-0. I can't even remember the last time that happened in baseball.
Well, it's been at least 8 years.
Yeah, I think so. Giants scored two in the ninth to beat the Braves. Padres got whooped by the Rockies. American League Angels shamed by the Yankees. Athletics beat the Mariners. NBA last night. Clippers and Lakers. Battle for L.A., or at least supremacy of the Staples Center. Clippers the better team all season long. But Kobe and his pals, they save face and win the game and come even closer to clinching the playoff spot. Same deal for the Sac Kings. They won last night. Now they're tied with the Lakers for the last couple of positions in the postseason. Also, the Suns lost last night. And the Lakers or the Kings, one of the two of them is going to play the Suns in the first round of the playoffs. We're one full week through the baseball season now. Barry Bonds, zero home runs.
Good.
So There are 26 weeks in the baseball season. Zero times 26. It's not a lot that he's going to wind up with
for
the season if he keeps this up. And San Jose Sharks suddenly steamrolling towards the NHL playoffs. They beat Dallas yesterday. Guess who scored a goal? The best name in pro sports.
Chichu!
There he is.
Chichu!
Chichu. Here's Chichu does it this way.
Chichu.
I told him, not right. I'll appreciate the effort, but not good enough. Try again.
Chichu!
There he goes. See, he's got it there. And I've got an early candidate for Creep of the Week.
Yes.
I was in Phoenix over the weekend for Mo Damashek's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat directly next to Bud Selig, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. I sat above him, perched. I was an elevated table. I got to look down at him so I could stand in judgment of him.
At a restaurant?
At a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there with eight people, all mm-hmm. older people. He's sitting there. The bill comes. Mm-hmm. He gets up. He drops up. This was a nice seafood joint. Mm-hmm. He stands up, drops a $100 bill on the table. Mm-hmm. You're worth $100 million. You don't get the tab? You creep.
He didn't pick up the tab for the eight.
He chipped in. Well, chipped in his half. Me and the missus, I'm sure $100 covers the two of us.
He had a calculator he was going through. I had this and this and this.
There's nothing worse than that J.O. who gets the five Heinekens and the surf and turf, and you get the dinner salad and the Crystal Light, and then the bill comes around. Well, it's $226.
Split it
there's
four ways.
There's four of us with tip. Everyone's going to be in for $75.
Yeah.
And that guy immediately ponies up to 75 when that was his bar tab. But you don't want to seem like a retard and go, hey, dude, you drank five Heinekens and I just had the dinner salad. But you're secretly angry at him.
Doesn't anyone else say? I mean, the car rides home from Phoenix. I mean, the people out there like, can you believe Bud didn't get the bill? He's worth $100 million.
Well, that's why he has the $100 million. He didn't get the $100 mil from picking up the tab every time they went out for surf and turf.
You can apologize for him. I call him a creep.
Dave Demashek's number one sports.
All right. Well, speaking of Mo Damashek, which is Dave's, I was going to call her his mother, but then I realized, not mother, not mom, mommy. I think seems to fit best for Mo Damashek.
You're the best mom in the whole world.
Was her birthday over the weekend. That's why Dave was in Arizona. She is going to read some emails regarding her young son, Dave Damashek. Also, we'll do one of our famous reenactments Dave and I will do on the radio. All that after this.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, my husband and I have been together nearly 5 years and we have two beautiful children. Over the weekend, I had a friend over. We had a few drinks and my husband asked if I wanted to try something new. I thought he meant between us, but when I said yes, he went to my friend and asked her to join us. We had never discussed having a third person join us in our private time. I would never be with anyone besides my husband. Why would he ask her without consulting me? I am really hurt and offended because now I think he is interested in her, and I'm not enough for him. I no longer know how to act around him because he made me feel so worthless. Should I forgive him? Helen in Hollywood.
Dear Helen, I don't know how many drinks your husband had, but it appears he had at least one too many and acted on impulse to live out a sexual fantasy. Should you forgive him? Yes, but not until you have hashed this whole episode out in the sober light of the day. And I fully assure that he is faithful and intends to remain that way.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
The T-Man cracked himself up halfway into there. All right, well, he lets his fists do his talking.
Well, that was good, but, you know, I'll tell you who needs some counseling. Christina brought up, the couple who... The husband had his wang bitten off by a hooker.
Well, bitten into.
Bitten into. Enough, he had to have surgery.
Enough so that he had to go, had to go have surgery. But I don't know if it's actually removed.
What would have to say about that affair?
Well, I have to get his take on that. Point is a guy went, he got with a prostitute. He's a married man.
Right.
She says he stiffed her for the cash, and then they went ahead and bit down on his wang, and now he's in the hospital.
Yes.
Sewed back up. And we often think, what must that phone call have been like when he called his wife now from the hospital.
Well, let's reenact it now. I'll be the husband.
I'll be the prostitute. I know we talked during the commercial about me playing the wife, but I think I'm a better whore.
I'm into that.
You missed a spot on your back. You want me to get some of that?
Rub it in real.
Yeah, good. You have way too much torso, way too much upper body to get to those spots.
I work
okay,
out.
I will play. Oh, no kidding. I will play the. I'll play the part of the wife.
All right. We have a phone call. I'll call you from the ER.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
And you know what? I think theatrically, hold on a second. I think theatrically, it'll be sort of like in, what was that submarine movie with the Sean Connery and Denzel Washington?
Hunt for Red October.
They spoke the Soviet sub guys. They spoke Russian at the beginning, but they slid
in one scene. They slid into English. Right.
That's what I'll do with the woman going to man.
Because people are from England. All right.
Right. No, because it's a woman. It'll be annoying with me going, hello.
Hello.
All right.
All right. So I'll slide into it.
All right.
All right. Now I'm going to pick up the phone, right?
Yes.
I let it ring a little bit. I don't like to pick it up too fast, you know. I don't want people to think I'm desperate. What's going on, Lee? That only rings twice. Yeah. Kind of get. Hello.
Hello. Honey,
do the Red October thing.
Buttercup, it's Mervyn.
Oh, Mervyn, yes, how are you? Oh, you're late for dinner, where are you?
Well, I'm in a great deal of pain.
What happened?
I'm at hospital.
I do the Red October thing where you just go into your voice.
I'm at hospital because I had my wang. Oh, wait. I'm at hospital.
What? You said wang? You have Dr. Wang working on you?
We have a bad connection.
You want to hang up and try again?
I think that was somebody. That was another.
Hello? All right, here we go. Here we go. Ring the phone.
All right, here we go.
I just do your regular voice.
All right.
It's going to be a disaster
too
otherwise.
Too tall in order.
You're right. Not for everyone, but. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Honey, is that you?
This is me. It's Merv.
Merv, what? Merv, you're late. I've had dinner on the table for 45 minutes.
I cooked
it in a crock pot. Do I have to explain that?
No, I...
Not the melting pot, the crock pot.
I'm at the emergency room.
What?
I'm in the ER.
A friend in? Are you comforting a friend?
No. I've been injured.
You've been injured?
Yes.
What happened? I know. It's all your counseling for at-risk teens. One of them finally snapped and stabbed you with the pencil you were using to help them fill out their SATs.
Well, no, but it did involve a young person. I was victimized.
Oh, that's it. You see what happens when you try to help young people? They'll turn on you.
Yeah, well, it was sort of a mutual thing.
Ah, you fought back to defend yourself. That's what you have to do. You're walking down the street, some young hoodlum tries to steal your wallet. You stand up for them. Good for you.
No, nothing like that, but it was someone from the street. I did meet this person out on the street.
Oh, this is one of those performers. You didn't throw enough in the guitar
performer,
case.
Performer, yes. Well...
I see. They sung and you didn't throw enough in the guitar case, and so they came after you.
No, you defended yourself. No, this young person was playing a different kind of instrument.
Flute?
You could say that.
All right, well, anyway, what happened? Your black eye? Your stitches in the forehead?
No. Think a little lower.
Something in the neck?
No, lower still, but I didn't.
Sternum? Sternum?
Keep going.
Solar plexus?
Little further.
Belly button?
Almost home.
Knee?
Too
lower?
Far.
Lower than knee?
No.
Back
work
up?
Your way up.
Mid-thigh?
Warmer.
What happened?
Now turn it around. My wang sustained an injury.
Oh, my goodness. The family jewels.
Yes.
What happened? They just started swinging uncontrollably? And caught you in your most private of parts?
Well, this is not... My wang was actually bitten.
Oh, that animal. What an animal. More animal than man.
I thought so.
I would argue.
It
got down to that.
A man,
about Marcus of Queensberry being out the window. This street savage bit right through your thick denim jeans and in.
To be fair, it wasn't anything like that. It was in a motel room. And
but you were wearing your jeans, obviously, to pierce the denim.
Actually, my pants were off.
Off? You were going to the bathroom. Can a man not sit on his throne in dignity and relieve himself without some street urchin breaking in?
No. I let the young person into the room. It was actually a young lady.
You were on the bathroom, and there was a knock on the door, so you answered the door, pulling your pants up.
No, I checked in with the young lady into the motel, and this is uncomfortable to talk to. You might.
I don't understand. You took this street performer into the...
Street performer, I don't know that's the name title she goes by professionally.
Well,
but
this young lady and you were just in a motel room, but you have a home.
I understand that, but the pressure at work has been, and you've got a lot on your mind. You're not responsible to relieve that pressure. I mean, you've got your own life. You're your own person. I figured, why bother you with
okay,
it?
Okay. I wasn't born yesterday. I figured out what is going on. You wanted a relaxing, therapeutic massage from a professional, licensed massage therapist. Yes?
Well, or fellatio.
I don't know that word.
Well, you know, it's
Greek person.
It involved my genitals and her mouth.
She forced you.
That's not your thing, and I'm cool with that. There's no.
I've done it with other men before. It's just not you.
You know why?
So her mouth somehow landed on your genitalia.
I think we were both. I think it was sort of.
She asked
if I wanted that, and I said, "Well, if it'll make you happy, I figured she's a young gal."
All right. So after the massage, you turned over on the bed just to relax. She had been running in the room, tripped on an ottoman, and her mouth landed on your genitalia.
Let's go with that.
Okay. But what happened? What was the injury? You're trying to throw her off of you, and she scratched you.
I mean, you and I. When you and I are together, you know, and you and I make love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this wasn't that. There are sometimes, I'm sure you understand that some people don't make love. They have sex, and sometimes when they do,
yes,
there's money exchanged.
She was paying you to receive oral?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I was paying her, but I mean, either way, yes, that was...
So this is a street person? A prostitute?
Yes, yes. A prostitute. A lady of the night.
So you paid her to finish you off orally.
A whore.
And what happened to your genitalia?
Well, she behaved herself like an animal, like you said. She said I didn't give her money or... this or that. I mean, I felt sort of suckered in, and
yes.
Then, for whatever reason, this street urchin bit through my wang.
Oh my God!
Bit my wang, and well, I mean, you might be hearing from some authorities because now she's saying that I forced myself on her.
Then you'll have to go to court.
I may. But here's the thing.
My father
I don't
went
have
the
any
same
money.
Way, by the way.
Can you
well, as long as she's been paid off, that's fine.
Well, no. I mean, she's hanging around outside the ER waiting for her money still. Handsome.
Wow.
She still has it in her.
What does she sound like again?
Give me my money.
What was that last one?
Money.
Okay. So I'll recognize her because she'll be the one who looks like she's smoking a bloody cigar.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And scene. Dave Damashek playing the part of the injured husband.
Adam playing the English woman.
I'll tell you, so giving. What an environment you create, Dave.
A playground.
Wow.
Was I intimidated? to act with Adam Carolla? Sure I was, but mm-hmm. he's such a generous actor that that's why I got into the business.
Yeah, tell you, Dave, I can't believe that they're paying us to do this stuff because that was a good time. Nice time. Nice shot, buddy.
Adam's Adam.
Nice shot, buddy. Dave Damashek, everyone. Speaking of Damashek, his mother is going to be calling in next. She's listening.
I'm sure she really enjoyed that.
I'm sure she loves.
She's listening. Tell her to call in and read some bad emails
Dave. She loves Wang humor. Yeah, she'll be reading bad emails about Dave for her birthday. Big Tad's birthday was Sunday. Well, we'll find out about that as well. All that after this. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I just saw Ken Howard come in here from The White Shadow, one of my favorite shows. We'll talk to him also after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Ken Howard is here. You know him probably best from The White Shadow show. Everyone my age, at least, watched growing up. He played the inner-city white basketball coach over at, what was it? Was it, well, Jefferson was on the team. What high school was it?
Carver High.
Carver High. Where did you film that, by the way?
We filmed it, well, at CBS Radford at the studios.
What high school did you use?
We used two. One, we used Notre Dame.
Out in the valley?
Out in the valley. And what was the other one?
Marshall, maybe?
I think it was North...
North Hollywood?
North Hollywood, yeah.
No, that was my high school.
Well, there you have it. Right.
Didn't recognize those tennis courts. Yeah, they needed a beat-up place. It looked like troublemakers would go to school, and they picked my alma mater.
It was really the spirit of New York. Bruce Paltrow used to say the hardest thing about the show was hiding the palm trees.
Oh, you know. You know, it's funny. I was, you know, what year did the show, pull the mic into you just a little bit.
78 to 81, and then it had a remarkable shelf life in syndication until about the late 80s.
It was one of these shows, as we were talking about it on Friday, when we were talking about you coming on the show, and everyone was trying to figure out how many seasons it ran. It felt like it ran 9 seasons, but I had a hunch that maybe it only ran 3 or 4.
It only ran 3, and even those were short seasons. It's only, it was only 54 shows.
Hmm.
And it was kind of homemade. It didn't go through marketing. I mean, I brought the idea to Bruce. We put it together, and the next thing we were on CBS with it. I don't know this, but I had a feeling that the network guys might have been kicking themselves once it started syndicating the way it did.
Right, it did well in syndication.
We believed it had that sort of audience.
So it was your creation?
Yeah.
Really? Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
The story of an NBA ball player goes to an inner city school, and you and Salami, the only two white guys on the team. Well,
they had the jokes, kid. Didn't they?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
A friend of mine from Kyle went to Amherst as an undergrad, and I'd tell these stories about playing on this high school team where I was the only white guy in the starting five, and this great coach I had named Fritz Mueller at Manhasset. And a friend of mine from college really said, you should, just gave me the germ of the idea, you should play a guy who, you know, went pro and then hurts his knee like you did and takes over coaching. Go find somebody you trust. And I'd known Bruce Paltrow for a long time, really as Blythe Danner's husband, because I worked with him a lot. He'll probably be most remembered as being Gwyneth's father.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought him the idea.
It's that Paltrow.
It's that Paltrow, as opposed to what? The other Paltrows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think these hot chicks are just hatched from eggs on a different planet. They live in pods. They come down here, yeah.
Right.
There's two things. I don't think about them actually being born to mortals, and then I don't think about them defecating.
I'm not going there, but I've known Gwyneth since she was born in each year, so all those aspects I'm familiar with.
Did you know she had it? Early on,
Bruce tells the story of going up to Williamstown and being, you know, not too eager to have his daughter go rushing into being an actress, and saw her in a play up at Williamstown, I think when she was 17, and just dropping his head in his hands and saying, oh, no, because she was that good.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
There's no talking her out of it.
I have twins on the way in probably 7 or 8 weeks, and I realize I don't want the girl to be hideous, but I don't want her to be too hot or too talented. You know what I mean? And next thing, you don't want the chick at 15 saying, I have a chance to go to Europe and do modeling. and then yelling, I hate you, when you tell her you want her to finish the ninth grade.
Well, I'd have to meet your wife, because so far it looks safe.
That's pretty safe. Touché, my friend.
Well, maybe with the in honor of the White Shadow, maybe that when you're looking for names for your kids, and Ken, maybe if you have a couple of suggestions for good twins, maybe Salami could be the name of the boy.
Salami. Now, who was, there was Salami, and there was like Goldfarb and Jefferson, or who, I'm trying to...
Well, I remember them only because we made them up. So, I mean, there was Hayward and Thorpe and
Thorpe.
Reese.
Oh, so you're a master of coming up with names.
Jackson.
Why don't you throw some at for the twins, for the Corolla twins?
Let's see. Well, now, this is a
boy and a girl.
And I'll let you think about it. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'll just call them Jack and Jill. Make it easy on everybody.
you played collegiately then, as you were saying, basketball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Any thoughts of going to the pros?
No. I was good enough to play on the Ivy League level. You know, that next step up I probably could have made just to help the academic average of the team. And the next step up, you know, you're in the intramurals. I had a friend who went to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Who was convinced that the team, this is 40 years ago, but the team that won the intramural title at Michigan would have swept through the Ivy League. You know?
Interesting. I bet you thank him for that.
Well, truth.
What, you know, the thing about it, well, thank you for your honesty, by the way. There's nothing worse than hearing the blowhard actor explain how he blew out his knee his senior year or junior year of high school. Otherwise, he was bound for All-Stars and the pros and the glory, you know. Yeah, nice. You didn't blame an injury. You just didn't have the first
Or Major League Baseball, too. You know, there are a lot of guys out there. They can play anything. It's just where they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Jacobson in the World of Golf told me that when they were up in Oregon, that the best guy he ever played with or played against was Danny Ainge when he was 18. They couldn't believe he wasn't going to go pro and go on the tour. And
In golf.
He said, there are these other sports for the Celtics.
Yeah.
And also baseball.
Right. Yeah, well, it is true, and it's how you know how good the professional sports are. I played high school baseball, and high school baseball, the pitcher was also the home run hitter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, we played against Daryl Strawberry's team, played against Crenshaw. He pitched.
Hmm.
And he was a good pitcher, too, but it's like these guys that are, you know, John Elway with baseball or whatever it is, these guys, it's not, you know, this guy's not going to be a star quarterback and not dominate at shortstop, too, or track as well if you're running back in the high school level. But when you get to the pros, it sorts it out.
Have you ever gotten to just stand in there, I mean, and look at one at the plate? I mean, I did.
Yeah.
Not that I was supposed to, and I knew I was safe. I mean, it was like, no, this guy's very accurate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
When it comes about 100 miles an hour,
break
on, it's terrifying. It really is.
Played in a game against Pedro Estacio. I swear to God. And Pedro Estacio is from I don't know where, but the whole idea of, hey, it's a bit for the man show. He didn't know what comedy was. He didn't know what bit. Pedro Estacio.
All I know is the guy with the unibrows crowding the plate and he's going down. That's all Pedro
understood. It was a game. It was an actual.
You need a lot of plexiglass when you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the stuff that kills you is right after the 100 mile an hour ball, now comes the junk. Now comes the break and stuff that looks like it's going to hit you, so you bail out and it goes right over the plate. All right. So, White Shadow. Let's get back to that. In the DVDs coming out. Is that out or is it coming out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, good.
And now you're an instructor at Harvard, in Harvard Law? What do you teach there?
I went back to Harvard. I taught an undergraduate course in the late 60s called The Self and the Role, but it was really a rhetoric course or a public speaking course. It was very popular. I couldn't call it public speaking because it has to sound a little more academic, but that's what it was. And it was popular, and I wound up teaching a version of that at the law school and wrote a book about it called Act Natural, How to Speak to Any Audience. It was a great experience. I was up there about 3 years. I'd still be there, except the pay scale's not quite the same as television and film. But other than that, it was great.
Did you bring The White Shadow with you? Did you bring the DVD?
Did I bring the?
Did you bring the DVD? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've got them.
Do we have them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have one at my home. And I've enjoyed a few episodes already.
Really?
Yeah, where you been? They got here on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even bring coffee. Sorry.
I got to get that. Yeah. What time did we pick you up this morning, by the way,
pardon?
Ken? What time did we pick you up?
They picked me up in time to get me to Palm Springs for this interview.
Right.
But I 4:45. I only live 15, 20 minutes away. So
yeah. Well, there's a lot of traffic at 4:45 in the morning. You know.
I help the guys clean up downstairs first, and they wouldn't let me in the building.
It does drive me insane when they do. The car service does that thing where it's like, all right, you have a 9 a.m. flight out of Burbank. The car's going to pick you up at 5:30 a.m. And you're like, really, 5:30? Do we really need 4 hours to get to Burbank? Well, you could hit traffic. It's like, all right, but here's the real comedy. The car's supposed to pick you up at 5:30. You get the buzz at 5:05. The guy hits the gate at 5:05, hits the door, because they always do that early. And, hey, let me say this. I know we're running out of time here, but, you know, everyone focuses in society. We focus on being late as inexcusable and poor etiquette, whatever, and being early, that's a virtue. I say it's the opposite.
Not if you're an actor, pal.
Right.
Not if you're an actor.
When people...
They don't care if you can act worth a damn. They don't care if you have any talent. They, what they want is for you, they being corporate, you know,
the man.
Whatever.
That's
the
right.
The man. You better be on time.
I'm just saying, when people are come
sober
to your house,
too.
Forget about the business for a second. There's
right.
Nothing worse than this. You know the guy who says, hey, let's grab breakfast. I'll come by your house Saturday morning. And he says, how about 8 o'clock? And you go, that's pretty early. I don't think I'm going to be up that early. Come by at 9 o'clock. We'll go out and get some ham and eggs. And he says, okay. And then he comes by at 8:41 and starts knocking on the door, and you're in the shower. You know, that if they come 20 minutes early or 15 minutes early...
Do you have a lot of friends
early,
like this? I mean, I don't. I've kind of weeded them out by now.
Oh, well, you're older and more refined than I am. But, yes, they come. They think it's a virtue to come 10 minutes early. That 10 minutes is the 10 minutes when you're naked and pulling your socks on and you hear the doorbell ringing. Come 10 minutes late. No one's going to hold it against you.
You know what happens on the television set? It's happened to me all the time because I have a little bit of that compulsion. Not socially, but is I'll be on the set and the assistants, who are always terrified anyway, they're going to lose their jobs, come up and say, oh, thank God you're here. We're ready for you in makeup, and we've got to hurry along. I say, you know, I'm not even here yet. I mean, officially, I'm not even supposed to be here for another half an hour. So,
right. How can you be running late?
How hysterically in a hurry could you possibly? Go get breakfast. We'll get back to you later.
Yeah. A lot of people
But you're
scared.
Right. There's a lot of fear of being late. Also, traffic, right? I mean.
Sure. So what time did the car come get you this morning?
Oh, he showed up pretty early. I was out with the dub, and we chatted about it, so I went back in and did other things, made phone calls.
What time was the actual... What was
when
the
did
actual
he actually get
toot
there?
On the horn, yes.
He
Saturday, Ken Howard
he
House.
He didn't toot. I was outside because my wife likes to sleep in, and I didn't want her getting awakened. I'm
wow.
a very good hubby.
E-W.
I'd say he was there around 6:10.
6:10.
For an 8 o'clock call.
For a 6:30 pickup.
For an 8 o'clock
call.
Get me here
in 15 minutes for an 8 o'clock call.
All right. Well, for that, you're going to get
But I wasn't late.
An extra fat and juicy plug, the White Shadow DVD, first two seasons. Ah, here it is, right in front of me. Ah, you haven't changed a bit. Two seasons out on DVD as we speak. Also, you're going to be on upcoming episode of Huff. And the film, Michael Clayton, George Clooney and you?
Yeah.
That's coming out when?
Who knows? They just finished, just wrapped filming it. And sometimes that means 6 months or a year and a half, but...
Well,
It seemed to be a very good film.
If it's got Clooney in it, then it'll come out soon.
And you're starring as the former Miami Dolphin wide receiver, Michael Clayton?
Michael Clayton. Right? You know that notion that it has Clooney in it, so it'll come out quick?
Mm-hmm.
I did a film called Inner Shoes that had Cameron Diaz, Toni Collette, and Shirley MacLaine. It took them a year and a half to release it, and it did well when it came out. Don't ask me, but you, know,
yeah.
you never know.
A-list, but no Clooney's in that bunch. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Dave's mom after this.
Coming, 'cause he weighs 400 pounds. Every time he starts walking, his footsteps shake the ground. He's got a head the size of a pumpkin and a smell that'll knock you down. He's big, fat, sweaty, Tad. You better hide your food when he's around.
Really? Big Tad's birthday was also this weekend. Shares a birthday with Dave's mom, Mo Damashek.
Coincidence?
I think not.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
And
nice
we
job of stepping on that, Dad, but go ahead. Yes?
I'm sorry. And we share birthdays, I found out, with Hugh Hefner,
mm-hmm.
which is very cool.
He just turned 80.
And Jenna Jameson.
Mm.
And Rudy Huxtable from The Cosby Show. Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're fun. We're happy.
Fair amount of range.
Yeah.
We don't mess around.
To me, the sharing the birthday is sort of when people do the signs. It's sort of like I'm a Gemini, so I'm tenacious. But there's two sides of me that doesn't mean anything. Listen, just please hurry up and box up that popcorn. I'm going to miss the movie. You know what I mean? That's what the sharing the birthday
that's
does.
Either, yeah, children are excited about it, and stupid people.
Okay.
If you're validated by the fact that you share a birthday with Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Then
are they trying to say something bad about you?
But yeah, pretty much.
you're still upset that Big Tad's birthday is the same day as your beloved mother,
it's
Mo Damashek, right?
Yes.
Who's on the phone, by the way. Mo Damashek?
Good morning.
Good to speak to you.
You too, Adam.
What a wild celebration it was in Phoenix this weekend.
The fun never stopped, but David was here. So anyway, I'm going to read these terrible emails, but I have a question. Why do you get Ask Kiss Radio? Mm-hmm. And David gets the terrible emails.
Yes, why?
Well, I'm funny. I mean, that's the fastest explanation, I guess. We could go into more detail if you want, but it probably gets sad.
I don't accept it.
First off, Dave doesn't get just bad emails.
No,
it's primarily bad, but it's not all bad. We just pick out the bad. Actually, we just take out the few good pieces, and hence we're left with the bad. It's funnier for you to read the horrible emails about your beloved son.
Well, I'm going to read the terrible ones, but I'm going to end with two good ones, because that's the way we should do it.
Well, let us know before you get to those so I can cut you off.
And let it be known, anyone who writes these emails, the vengeful Mo will, you know, forget about the movie Munich, the new movie Monic. She will hunt you down and kill you all for these.
Hurt you and you won't see it coming.
Yes.
Because who's going to suspect me? Nobody.
Right. Uh-huh. You're a nurse, but you'll be the angel of death on this day.
That's exactly right. So, they will never see me coming. It's going to be terrible.
What did you turn? 40? Were you 45, 46?
Oh, you old.
65.
Wow.
65, but it's not bad. People keep saying, oh, you're 65. But this is what it is. I mean, yes, it's fine. It's good. Anyway, should we do this dreadful stuff?
Sure.
Awful, awful human beings.
Yeah.
Who are pathetic, right? They have nothing else to do.
Well, we'll be
correct.
The judge of that.
Okay,
some make some very valid points. Go ahead. Mo Damashek reading horrible email about her son. Yes.
You can also be on my list of people.
Uh-oh.
Believe me. I have a list, just like David. Okay. This is from John in Phoenix, of all places. Mm-hmm. I can find him easily. Oh, no, this is a good one. Okay, no, this is from Jeff in Portland. Get rid of Dave, the sports guy. He sucks. I change the station when he speaks. Two words, unfunny a-hole.
Wow.
I don't know what that means.
It's really like four words or three and a half or something. All right.
Okay, this is from Zach in San Francisco. Why is Dave... dumb as schmuck. That's
yes.
You know our name. Or is he trying to sound exactly like you? What's up with that whispery voice thing he does? Does he think he's funny? The is his, not mine.
I see.
Okay, Craig in San Diego. This is all in caps, too. Replace dumbass Dave with Ozzy. Oh, Ozzy's good. Dave makes me not listen to the show. Okay,
wow.
Julie in Las Vegas. Please, God, no more Dave. We all get what he's trying to do. It's not funny.
Wow.
Terrible people.
Words can really hurt.
Oh, I'm down. Oh, you can see how devastated we are. Gee, by this.
Is there any other bad emails you have?
Bad emails. Let's do a really bad one. Mike in Seattle. Love the show. Can't muzzle this self-centered egomaniac. Must be the loser fantasy baseball jerk you used to talk about on Loveline. Please.
Just because he's in two fantasy baseball leagues and three home run leagues doesn't make him a fantasy baseball jerk.
He sat in my house this weekend on the computer saying, about things.
It must be a delight for you, you being a certified nurse, your husband being a board-certified physician,
absolutely,
to see your 35-year-old son sit on the computer and look at baseball stats and scream at a flat screen the entire weekend when he's supposed to be visiting with you.
We're so proud. We're never more proud than when he does that. But, okay, here's one I don't understand. It's from Meg in Fresno. Did Dave come out of the closet yet? yuck, don't like him, end of story.
You would still love him if he was gay, right?
Oh, absolutely. He knows that. We had that discussion.
Good.
Not
now,
about being gay.
Fantastic. Now let's get to the real reason we had you call in, Dave. Go ahead.
Doing it live.
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of Adam Carolla, even before I met him.
Yeah.
Then I got to know him, and, you know, you get to, you're working close proximity with people, long hours, and things happen.
Lines get blurred. All right, give us one more bad one, Mo.
One more bad one?
Mm-hmm. I know you have a lot to choose from, but just see if you could settle on one.
Okay. Adam, they all write directly to you. Damasuck is an anchor. Get rid of him. He will bring your show down like the Titanic.
Wow.
Wow. Isn't that just, that's awful. All right, a good one, though.
Okay. All right, that's enough of that. We know there's a handful of good ones out there.
Let the woman be heard. It's her birthday.
I'm scared she composed it herself on one of her little Hello Kitty pads.
No, but she did compose a limerick, though.
Oh, she did?
A response limerick, I believe.
Yes, I did. I shared it with David.
Do you have a response limerick?
I have a response limerick. But first, let me read the last good one. It is from Frank in L.A. Dave is the best part of the show. Adam better be careful, or Dave may just get his own show.
Wow.
Thank you, Frank in L.A. That was very good, I thought. That was a nice
one. You couldn't come up with a better name than Frank, huh? What were you doing, just cooking up some hot dogs and looked down into the boiling pot and thought, I'll name this anonymous caller Frank.
It was not anonymous. He signed. They were all signed by these people.
All right, read your limerick.
Now,
what's the what is the topic? This is the slings and arrows your son has to endure on this show. Is that the topic?
The topic is David, as it usually is with us. Okay, David is the topic. This is the limerick. Wait, I don't write it down. I just know it. David was always a wonderful boy. It's true, he's his mom's pride and joy. He's handsome. He's smart. As a fellow, he's swell. And if you don't think so, you can just go to hell.
Yes.
Wow. A loving mother.
Touching.
I would like that painted on the wall.
It has been already. Here and in Pittsburgh, both places.
Let me give you a little contrast to that with the Carolla family.
Ooh, okay.
Now, this is a story that's been told before, but it bears repeating. It's really the more time I play it out in my head, the more comical it gets. Go back in time, let's call it 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
I'm sitting at dinner at a Thai food restaurant with the entire Carolla family, minus the dad because of the rough breakup that took place many years ago, which some would argue scarred me, but formed me into the man I am today.
Yes.
Now it's my mother, it's my grandmother, it's my sister, her husband, myself, my girlfriend at the time, wife-to-be. And we're all sitting around enjoying a little Thai food, which the Ace Man is going to pay for, by the way.
Of course.
And we're shooting the breeze. We finished the appetizers. We're waiting for the main course to arrive. And my mom pipes up, apropos to nothing. I got another flyer in the mail for cable. No one in the family has cable. I got another one of those flyers today. $19.95, they said, and they'll hook up the basic cable package. I keep getting these things. They're almost begging me to get it. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to squeeze the trigger just yet. Now, she puts this to the table. Here's the question she puts out to the table. Can anyone give me, ironically, one good reason why I should get cable? Now, to go back in time, at the time, her son, sitting to her left, has two shows on cable, two. Man Show and Loveline. Loveline is on for an hour every single day of the week. And that's not to mention the times they reran it and stuff. There's literally an hour of your son on cable every single night, and then, of course, the Man Show whenever it was, and all the repeats are, but two cable shows. Now, let me explain the family for a second. Befuddled, dumbfounded, a lot of chin scratching going on amongst the Carollas. One good reason. Ironic use of the one good reason cliche. One. Then somebody pipes up after a few minutes of a stone silence. No, it was not me. I think my sister may have said, you know, they do have those cooking shows. They have the Food Network. You might enjoy that. I then, being drawn into the whole conversation and not knowing until later on, until I relive this in anger on my way to my fifth job that night, thinking to myself, I then piped up and said they have these history channels and these learning channels. Not once did the Sun factor in with the two cable shows.
In the meantime, Mo and the old man are watching Man Show reruns, and when my name comes up on the credits, standing ovation. That's my favorite part of the show.
I watched BattleBots. I would say, wow. David wrote this years ago. Yeah, David's sister was here this week also, and she thinks it's the saddest thing. We have three radios all tuned to what we call David's show.
But she uses the word sad, but she's angry. She feels right. Betrayed. Right. Imagine growing up in the room next to King David. Yeah. Horrible.
Well, I say this. Right, I think that she did an admirable job, and I say happy birthday. And Randy Thank Jackson's you. Dog Pound doesn't care about it, but someone wants to say happy birthday. It's the fish tank.
Nice job, Mo Davis.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Slug. Talk to you later.
Get,
bye.
Get back to tending the shrine before one of the candles.
Your biggest fan.
Fire.
That was impressive, I have to say. I kind of want her for my very own.
Nice, huh?
Yeah, real nice.
One good reason.
I want one of those.
Cable. All right. I'm over it. We'll take a quick break. Oh, wait a minute. Robert?
Yeah?
You got a question about a fart fan?
I do.
Ceiling fan in the bathroom.
While you still think of names for the twins, let me just remind you that you've always liked guys' names for girls. So,
I do. It's a hot name. Stevie for a chick, you know. It's a hot name when there's a hot chick and she has a dude name. But go ahead, Robert.
Just reminding you. So, anyway, I've been having this debate with my roommate for a while now, and we figured that you would probably be the one to settle this. The fan in the bathroom. Now, we have a bathroom that does not have a window to any outside area. It's just got a skylight in it.
Right.
It's got a fan, and every time my roommate takes a shower, he flips on the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I take a big dookie, I switch on the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that's what the fan's there for. He says that it's there to get the hot air out of, you know, after you've taken a shower. And I'm saying that it's probably there for both.
Well, they don't call it a fart fan for nothing. But I do want to say this, too. They keep worrying. They make everything whisper quiet now. Oh, it's the dishwasher. You don't even know when it's on. The car, you can't even tell when it's running. Stop doing work on the fart fan. I like a little sound cover when I'm on the pot.
Yeah.
I don't want it whisper quiet. I want to hear some clanking. I want to hear metal on metal. I want to see sparks coming out of that thing. Let me do my business under the cloak of this horrible, wretched sound that's coming out from the heavens. And I'd like some...
Perpetual piece of flatulence.
You're going number one again? That would be nice. We need one in the bathroom over here at the station, by the way. The poor guy. I know we're running late, Bresca, but I just have to say this. I felt sorry for the poor sap who was on the pot, because here's the deal. There is some sort of OSHA law that obviously is passed in this building where somebody's ass must be on the pot that's in the hall every waking moment, every time. If their lights are on, if the doors are open or something, the second the guy's ass lifts off, up the doors lock and the lights go off and the big steel grates come down in front of the windows. There's some sort of rule that there must be an ass on them, but he's sitting there, but I realize they realize when you walk in too, and now they're in the holding pattern.
Sure.
Now, we had the guys from Last Comic Standing come in here at 6 in the morning. I came in here disheveled at 10 to 6, and I realized, oh, Christ, I'm a mess. I just shaved. I had blood spots on my Adam's apple and stuff. So I did my business, number one. The guy was in a holding pattern, obviously. There's nothing you can do. There's no wiping. There's no blooping. There's no farting. You're puckered and frozen until the guy who walks in leaves, and you're praying for a little moment in between the traffic. I take my whiz, but unfortunately now I got to do a little work in front of the mirror. I'm fixing my hair up. I got the thing going. Uh-oh, got a little blood spot from the shave. I realize now I'm going on minute number 6, and this guy's just frozen. frozen on the pot, not moving a molecule until
it's
he hears
the door. It's an interesting subject, the guy who does do his business while you're in the room.
I say that is the very definition of freedom, self-actualization, and I would like to learn at the hem of
Donald
this great
Trump,
master.
I guarantee you, he doesn't care if he hears a conversation out by the sinks. He does his business, and then he walks out and he doesn't wash his hands and he goes right back.
I would love to be that evolved.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't sound like it, but I think there's no greater definition of freedom than having a group of guys in the bathroom. You're on the pot, let it fly.
Yep.
Roll the Duke. Let the Duke fall where it may.
You should have said that to him.
I should have. I should have.
You should have just said, just let it happen.
There should be a sound. You should be able to do like that thing. A secret call that just says to the dude on
I'm
the
okay
pot,
with it.
Let it fly,
okay
baby.
It.
Let it fly. I think it'd be weird to establish voice contact, like, hey, this is Adam, go ahead and crap away. But if they did that, he doesn't have to reply. His reply.
Well, if you work in a place of business too, where with the same, and you know that probably people will recognize your shoes. That's uncomfortable too. That's especially the worst.
That's right. That's true. All right. Should we take a little break?
Yes.
Let's do that. Yes. We'll be right back with news and sports after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Religious Pitch Challenge.
At the hand of a raging mad god, having smoke coming out of his nostrils and fire coming out of his mouth.
Maybe he did a bong load.
Five religions enter, only one will leave. Which religious faith will win Adam over? Find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Bill Bothwell will be in here, senior teacher. Buddhism, which is one I have a little experience in. Again, I'm having kids. I want to pick a religion. I'm not getting any younger. They're going to, I heard about, a friend of mine was telling me about a friend of hers, 37, passed away of breast cancer, and she knew she was dying, and then just went to the funeral last weekend, and she said, you know, either way, if I live another day, it's great, and if I don't, well, you know, I'll be up in heaven, and I'll see grandma and whatever, and I thought, oh, you lucky son of a bitch. Imagine that. Imagine having that get-out-of-jail-free card tucked away in your hip pocket. I die, go to heaven.
Yeah. But nice. There's another side to that coin, which is this. See, everybody believes that they're going to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't. See, I assume I'll just be dead. So these people who are waiting to go to heaven, when they die and they go to heaven, if it's in fact true, they'll get there and they'll be like, oh, thank goodness, I was right. Heaven exists. Imagine my and your euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven exists! I was wrong! I live for eternity. We'll celebrate. These other people will be like, yeah, expect it as much.
Yeah, it's true.
See?
That's true. Yeah.
So where do you think you're going?
Nowhere. Nowhere. I think I'll be dead.
That'll be it
That's
for
it.
Him. Yeah.
For all of us.
That's sad.
Sad.
That's
but
sad.
I think egotistical to sort of believe that we have plans for you after you die.
Yeah.
I didn't think there's much work for me to do while I'm here. Dead. I'm really napping. Al?
Yes, sir.
You're a pilot, commercial pilot?
Yes, sir, I am. How you doing, Al?
Good to speak to you, Al. And you had something about the bathroom for us?
Well, yeah, you talk about going to crap at the workplace there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's nothing more identifiable than a pilot walking out of the cockpit there. You know, everybody knows he's on the walk of shame.
Well, that's a good point, yeah. Yeah, but so you could still be doing number one in there.
Well, you know, you just got to live for the moment. Just take that newspaper, slap it up under your arm, and walk back with pride. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'll tell you, my problem with the flights is I like to kick my shoes off and have a few boozes early on in the flight up there in first class, naturally, where the rich people reside. And then I walk into the bathroom. Now, after a few boozes, about 4 hours into the flight, it's time to use the head, but I'm too lazy to put the shoes back on. And my feet swell up a little with the altitude or whatever. So I walk into the bathroom in just the socks, and I just wick up all the urine.
Well, I would have assumed in first class, the stewardess comes and cups her hand for you to make in.
Why? Your mouth is so full that I can't use that? What are you saying? Oh, that's for number two. Okay. Thank you, Dave. It's true. That's how it works. I don't even move my bowels. They actually apply a gentle pressure to my abdomen and squeeze me like
not
toothpaste.
Not too severe so that it hurts.
Yeah, just like toothpaste while I'm sleeping. They don't want to wake me. Okay. Where were we? So, anyway, we'll discuss Buddhism. That'll be the first guy who comes in here and tries to convert me over in a couple of few. But first, it is time for Christina Herrera and her news.
Oh, the news. All right, Mike Tyson has been dumped yet again by his 16-year-old British girlfriend.
Really?
Yes, 16 years old. She called it quits after 8 months when she found out that he'd had sex with four other girls all at the same time, of course.
Wow.
I know, and you're thinking 16's kind of young, right? That's what you're thinking.
I was thinking that, yeah. But Dave was thinking it was very old, but I was thinking that's kind of young.
No, but the Brits say you could only have to be 16 to be considered of legal age.
Nice.
16 years old.
Pack up the show. We're moving to merry old England. How say you? I say huzzah.
With 16-year-olds. All right. How about those cell phone bills? Maybe $100, $200. I think $200 is a lot of money for a cell phone bill. Myself.
It is.
I'm cheap that way.
Sure.
But how about a $218 trillion cell phone bill?
Wow.
That's what happened to a Malaysian man, and he was ordered to pay it within 10 days or face prosecution. Now, they're not sure if it was a mistake or if someone was just using the cell phone illegally. They're still working out the
200
trillion.
I'm going to guess that was a little typo.
No, trillion.
Yeah, not trillion. I mean typo to the Malaysian guy, not your typo.
I was like, no, seriously, it's right here. Plain as day. Trillion.
You can't run up a $200 trillion cell phone.
It's roaming. Analog. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's some Malaysian form of currency. And no. By the way, can we figure this out? You know, I always get confused. How many pounds per dollar? There's 10,000 pesos for every quarter. And we're all over the map. Come on, everyone just take the dollar in English and let's move forward in life. Can we please?
Make life easier.
Yeah.
I'm Christina Guerrero, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
Bruska has given me 17 signs about make this quick. We gotta be quick.
If you would listen.
We gotta be quick.
Oh, you've already wasted 5 seconds.
We
go.
Gotta be quick. Damashek, you gotta be quick.
You know how the lesbians are. Always on the move.
All right. Settle down, Bruska. Now, if you're ever gonna watch golf on TV, yesterday was the day to do it because it was the Masters. Did you watch it, Ace?
No, but I did see a 16-year-old Michelle Wee who was highlighted on 60 Minutes and thought, yeah, that's one thing the English have right. 16, plenty old enough.
Wee is for you.
I would say, look, when I'm in charge, here's the deal. You either have to be 18 or if you drive the ball further than 300 yards, you're in. I don't care if you can do that on your fourth birthday. Sexually, you're in.
Now, Phil Mickelson, the winner of the Masters, impressive effort, as I mentioned, especially for a man of his carriage. He's a slob.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fat pig. He's the fattest good athlete since Babe Ruth.
Mm.
He makes Bruska look like Zab Judah.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
You're out of time. Let's go. You know what? I'll take my time. One more thing I will say, though, about Mickelson, because I called for it on Friday. Think about it. If you're in contention on the leaderboard on Sunday, put some outfit together that's going to complement the green jacket. You have to put the green jacket on. National TV, you have to go on the late night TV circuit. Wear something. He did it. Black shirt, gray pants, smartly done. Yes, I'm gay.
All right, but wait a minute. Wouldn't you think of that, you know, golfers are pretty superstitious. Wouldn't you think of that as sort of jinxing yourself? What if you were getting dressed, you know, you're in the clubhouse, you're going out to shoot the back final nine or whatever, you're a couple strokes lead, and you start thinking, what looks good with that green blazer? Wouldn't you look at that as jinxing yourself?
In a way, yeah. Instead, so now I will wear a royal blue shirt and pink pants.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, national pastime, quickly. Dodgers split a doubleheader. The Snakes of Arizona won. Giants, they scored two in the ninth to beat the Braves. Padres whipped the Rockies. Or no, they got whipped by the Rockies, I should say. Angels shamed by the Yankees. Athletics beat the Mariners. Clippers and Lakers last night. Battle for L.A. Lakers not going to finish ahead in the season standings of the Clippers, but they saved some face and won the game and are coming closer and closer to clinching a playoff spot. Same thing with Sacramento. Those two teams are tied. And San Jose Sharks also hurtling towards the playoffs thanks to a goal last night by Jonathan Chichu, the best name in professional sports. And to appease Bruska, that's that.
Dave
Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll have a senior teacher of Buddhism who's going to try to win me over to that religion. I think a lot of people are confused about Buddhism. I don't know my own self, even though I actually practiced it for about 3 weeks when I was 19. That's all. That's a story I'll tell you. And we'll see if he wins after this.
This is Quagmire. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Bill Bothwell is here. He's a senior teacher of Buddhism. Again, I have twins coming in a few months. I'm an atheist. The Carollas are longtime atheists. And why not? Who they got to give thanks to, if you really think about it? They've done the thanks math. So I come from a troop of atheists who just laugh it up whenever you talk about the hereafter and, you know, karma or anything that has to do with any kind of spirituality whatsoever. Bill?
Yes, Adam.
There you go. I knew this wasn't going to be a party. Bill, you Buddhism
right.
is your chosen religion.
Buddhism is my chosen religion. I got involved with it 30 years ago
mm-hmm.
When I was a music editor and a musician in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I started studying West Coast beat poetry and, you know, Allen Ginsberg and Gary Snyder and that sort of thing.
Sure, free love.
And I heard about Naropa Institute and Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, who was teaching Tibetan Buddhism
sure.
in Boulder. And
sure.
Allen Ginsberg was there, and I wanted to study poetry with him. So I took off in 1975 and spent 9 years there.
Now, how do you we'll get to the broad strokes here, but as it comes to Buddhism, what are the main things you do as a Buddhist? Give us your day.
Well, the main things you do as a Buddhist is you are examining the nature of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you start off with the assumption that you don't really, as you're introduced into Buddhism, you start off with the assumption you don't really necessarily know what it means to be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And you're invited to sort of examine that proposition by meditating.
Do you have a day? Is there a special day? Do you have, you know, a Sabbath, or is every day?
It's pretty much every day. I practice in the morning. I get up and practice for about 45 minutes before I go to work.
Mm-hmm. Do you chant?
Well, not particularly. I heard your discussion of the religions last week,
mm-hmm.
and Nichiren Buddhism does chant.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're queer, get used to it, or is it something else?
I really am not familiar with
it. Here we go. Is it something like that? I mean, if Dave, like Dave, maybe Nam Myoho Renge Kyo doesn't mean anything to a guy like Damashek from the Steel City, but maybe he wants to do Here We Go Steelers. Could he do that?
And, well, actually, you probably could do that. The beginning practice of Buddhist meditation is to stabilize your mind.
Mm.
And it really doesn't matter what you're focusing on. You could be focusing on a flame or a sound or a chanting.
Mm.
In our tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, we focus on our in-breath and our out-breath, or just our out-breath, and there's a gap.
Mm.
And
you just focus on the out-breath, though. Eventually you die, don't you?
No,
oh, you'll come in. You'll breathe in. Okay.
You don't need to worry about that.
So you breathe. All good. You know, to me, it's got a little that... I used to watch Kung Fu when I was a kid. It's got a little that wisdom of the Orient thing going, where you, like, focus on your breath. You find your center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And so far, you know, I had a young friend when I was in high school named Jung Hee Lee. 4'2", all teeth and hair. And she used to drag me to all these Buddhist meetings and stuff like that. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, it's not a bad idea. You know, you just sit down, you focus, you think about what you want to do, you think about what you want out of life, and you set aside a half hour a day to focus on that. Yeah?
Well, not exactly. You don't think about what you want out of life. You basically try not to think about much of anything at all. You try to create some sort of neutral platform where you're focusing on your out-breath, just as a reference point so that you can begin to experience your mind. And the first thing you notice is that your mind is very, very discursive, that you're talking to yourself all the time. It's like on a radio station, you have the concept of dead air.
Yes.
And you fill
this
it up
it,
as fast as you can.
Yes. We're executing that concept quite successfully.
You fill it up as fast as you can with conversation.
Right.
And the same thing is true with your own mind. When
right.
you're practicing, you discover that you've basically are filling it up with your own personal conversation.
I have tried. I have Dr. Drew once said, I have hypervigilance. I notice everything and it bothers me. And therefore, once in a while, when somebody tries to hypnotize me, it doesn't really work. And for the same reason, when I attempt, and I have tried a couple of times to meditate, and it's always like, close your eyes, focus on your breath. What smells? Something smells. What's going on with this carpet? Jesus Christ, my roommate been in here? God damn it. Okay, focus.
See, that's actually
focus.
Good meditation.
That is?
That's good
that's
meditation.
Good. I can't shut my mind
he's
down.
Doing it right?
Doing it right?
What you need to sort of understand with meditation is that you're not really trying to alter what's taking place in your mind. You're trying to become aware of what takes place in your mind. Mm-hmm. And most people aren't aware. They're constantly talking to themselves. They're constantly thinking about what they're going to do next, mm-hmm. what they're going to have for dinner, right. who's for them or against them. And when you sit, that's the first thing that you encounter. You don't encounter any space at all. As a matter of fact, one teacher once told me, or told a group of students, that he had a student come in and said, "Oh, it was very peaceful, very wonderful when I was first introduced to sitting practice." And he said, "This student is not so good." The person who comes in and says, "Oh, I was just completely scattered and all over the place and couldn't keep focus at all," is beginning to see what their mind is really like.
So would you say that Buddhism, other religions or many religions, you get together, you congregate, and you sort of focus on your religion. This is a little more, more like, I guess, not as much a team sport. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's a difference between, you know, golf and football or something. This, you're on your own a little bit out on your driving range of life and not huddling with a mass of people constantly.
Well, I think that there's quite a bit of truth in that, that in the beginning you really do have to work with yourself. You have to stabilize your mind, you have to strengthen your mind, and you have to clarify your mind. And until you do that, you really don't have a basis for communicating very successfully with other people.
And ultimately, we're going to take a break in a second, we're going to get to more of this, but ultimately I guess what we're looking for is the daily ritual and then what you expect to achieve from it. When you pass away, you know, if you found out you had terminal brain cancer, would being a Buddhist help that? Don't answer. Take another draw off that
and also
shy tea there.
And now, yes. it's gonna, when we come back, it's time for you to convince Adam. You have to sell him on your religion.
Yeah. Because, you know, I don't know how many Buddhist celebrities there are, but certainly I could probably help the cause.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Drag me in. I do a little, do a little preaching, talk a little about Buddhism. Maybe, is Buddha still alive? I don't know. Maybe meet with him, a little meet and greet, photo op with the Buddha man. It's his first name, by the way. Is it Buddha's his first name? So many things to discover about this. I've seen his likeness in the incense holder, but that's about it. It's as far as we've gotten. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Talk a little more Buddhism after this.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons, and you're listening to Who Else? The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bill Bothwell's here. He's a senior teacher of Buddhism. He's our Buddhism expert. Religious week all week, having the kids looking for a religion, feeling.
And the spokesman of Buddhism is here to convince you to join his religion.
Yes, he is, the mouthpiece of Buddhism. Bill. So, Bill, give me, if you're trying to, first give it just a quick thumbnail sketch. What is Buddhism in 30 seconds?
Well, you know, you've heard of the Buddha, of course. He was around 2,500 years ago, and he spread his teachings in India. And
he spread some extra butter on his bagel, too.
He's a big man.
Morbidly obese. A lot to overcome for a religion. Jesus, a nice-looking man if you're into beards.
Yeah.
Chuck Heston made the Jews look good, you know, with the playing Moses, but, you know, heavy said Buddha.
Yeah.
So anyway, Buddhism.
Yeah, I probably should have put a shirt on. I was saying, like, Jesus had the build. You know, Jesus was like one of those guys at the ball game where it's like, well, it's a little bit cold out here, but he's got a nice six-pack on. Let him take his shirt off.
He swung a hammer. He got into
shape. Yeah, but when the fat guy takes his shirt off, yeah, Buddha should have kept his shirt on. All right, what else did we learn?
So those teachings spread to China and to Tibet. And the Buddhist teachings that I relate to are the Tibetan Buddhist teachings.
Mm.
The most famous, you know, spokesman of those teachings right now, of course, is the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of celebrities are for freeing
Tibet.
Yeah, I like them taken over. I'm one of the few celebrities that actually wants them crushed. I'm going to have a concert, too. Crush Tibet. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So where were we?
I don't know.
Dalai Lama. So,
yes.
Anyway, so the main, there are lots of schools of Buddhism, and I'm basically, you know, speaking for the Tibetan Buddhist.
Now, what do you got to do then? Just nutshell.
In order to convince you to be interested in Buddhism? Well, the main thing that the Buddhism seeks to achieve in human experience is basically being awake.
Mm.
So it's not so much that you are seeking peace or some kind of escape from your world at all. You could be in pleasure or in pain, and what is most important from a Buddhist perspective is that you are awake at the same time.
You experience it.
You experience it, and what that really ends up doing is it sort of lightens up your touch on reality because you're not trying to switch from pain to pleasure. And you can be more lighthearted about it. So as you develop as a Buddhist, the thing that becomes most clear about the way you carry yourself in the world is that you have a sense of humor, as you do, of course. You become much more lighthearted and open and carefree. And there's a sense of freedom that takes place when your mind can be open and spacious.
And no rules about getting it on with chicks other than my wife or consuming drugs or anything like that. Yeah. Well, no rules that way?
It's sort of your own responsibility. There, you are obviously...
Well, that's going to be an easy one.
You know that you can do things that will get you in trouble.
Yes.
And when they get you in trouble, then you're going to have to deal with the consequences.
Sorry,
and
but...
So sometimes you can say to yourself, rather than getting myself in trouble, and as you live more and more your life, you realize that it's best not to get in trouble.
All right, but no big Buddha is going to come down on me with a giant sandal or
anything.
There's
no external savior.
Oh, okay.
So you can rationalize the need for free love, you're in good shape then.
Well, it's very difficult to... I mean, you have to be clear about what you mean by free love. What do you mean by free love?
Well, I know, first of all, how you came to be a part of Buddhism is that you were hooked up with Allen Ginsberg and those people. I assume there was a lot of free love being practiced then, yes?
Well, basically, what you're looking for in your personality is genuineness and openness. And if you're completely truthful about yourself and open to the repercussions of what you do, and gentle and soft about it and vulnerable, then basically you can kind of move very freely
through
the world.
So far, we're almost out of time, but so far the Buddhism feels pretty good to me, you know? It's one of those, it's like doing traffic school at home. You don't have to show up anywhere. You don't have to get up early. You hop on the computer for a few minutes. You just did it.
You
probably were multitasking. Probably num yo ho, and then you're like stopping distance while traveling 60 miles an hour. I'm just saying, that's what I need. I need a religion. I don't want any religion where the alarm goes off at 8:45 Sunday morning and I got to clip a tie on, you know? I want that one where I can do it from the comfort and convenience of my own home. I want to practice in
the
nude.
One more consideration. What happens when we die?
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Actually, I just performed a funeral, and the thing that happens, which is an unusual situation to be in, in the Buddhist tradition, we burn a picture of the person who has just died. And what you're doing when you do that is you're trying to both let the person who has just died, as well as the family, realize that it's time to let go, that this life has been completed.
Nah, I don't want that. I want them to hang on for years and years.
Go,
I want
like
them to
name go somewhere?
Shopping malls painful. After me.
That's a very painful situation to hang on for years and years. And
well, I'd like them to do that. I'm dead. Let them hang on. Yes.
It's work for them. But do you go somewhere?
Yes. Heaven, hell.
What do you...
The ground.
They eat you.
In Buddhism, there's the concept of impermanence, which any state that you go to, there might be a more blissed out state that you would go to or a hell realm that you would go to, but they're all very impermanent. So until you can become awake, you are going to be migrating around. But what migrates around are these sort of karmic propensities, this sort of momentum that you've created with all of your activities and actions in life.
All right, so you're not really going anywhere.
No.
So really, Buddhism, it's really, you're like atheists without cable. You just...
I'd have to think about
that. Well, think about it. Because we're atheists, we got nothing either, but we're smart enough to watch TV instead of sit around and you know, do the numb your home. All right, punch our Hooters heavy bag behind us. I just want to figure out, you know, how much...
Who wins that fight, by the way? Jesus versus Buddha.
Nah,
Buddha takes that one.
Buddha.
Right? Vishnu might
Buddha.
Give him a battle with all the arms.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Although Jesus fights dirty. I don't know if you...
Ooh, he brought it.
That's right.
A little feminine with Let's the see. Swing, but...
Whoa,
climbing towards 500.
Wow, 476.
Better than Brusca.
Goes
no, not better.
Yes. Look at that. A man of peace outpunches your lesbian ass, Brusca. All right, Bill, I want to thank you.
Or I'm a lesbian.
I'll give it some consideration.
Leader in the clubhouse. Well done.
Yeah, nice job. All right, I want to thank the Last Comic Standing folks for coming in here. Ken Howard, White Shadow, out on DVD. And, of course, Bill Boffel, the Buddhist with the Widowmaker for the right hand. The Buddhist hammer, they call him. All right, coming up tomorrow, Wanda Sykes, Daisy Fuentes, Rabbi Shari's going to come in here and see if we can talk me out of Buddhism and into the Judaism. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.